You would expect me to be ready now, wouldn't you?
Kind of.
Anyone there? Oh, hi. Yeah, give me one second. I just, I got troubles here on this end. And perhaps another?
Yes, I will get that ready.
Oh, my God.
It's a good start.
All right, here we go.
All right. Ready? Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm. Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Hey, it's Friday. Wait, I'm Rodney, you're Friday. Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here, winding down another week of great flashback. Well, that's Richard's show. Man, what am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
If the spirits cause you to become lost in the jungle, what should you do to find your way home? I don't know.
Ryan Seacrest, bitten by a shark. How vicious was the attack?
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
Some of the stuff they talk about don't interest me, and I don't want to hear it.
Let's go to Mike in Lenox. This sounds very funny. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Put the money
down. Yeah!
Been a while.
Yes!
Well played, my friend. Well played.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm in a smoke pot every day.
Roll another one.
Does anybody have any drugs?
Just like the other one.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Wait and beg.
And I need another
hit. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roll another one.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
Just like the other.
Think about smoking pot.
We smoke too many pot.
I don't have another
sin. Quick question, are there any pot smokers here today? Any pot smokers at all?
The best tonic is chronic.
Just pass it around.
I'm looking to score some drugs.
I did inhale and I ate.
And now,
what do you like about pot? What does it do for you when you smoke?
It just the simplest explanation I can give is it just makes everything more fun. You know, it just makes makes my brain work differently.
Worse.
You know,
our feature presentation.
There's the poster child right there for why pot is good.
Mike, tell me again about the Cubs fans.
Oh,
tell me again
so
about that.
Awesome. Coming out of the stadium.
The ones that are still alive, you mean?
Yeah, the ones that are coming out of the stadium, you know, last night after the game, and they're interviewing them on whatever L.A. local news, and they're feeding it back here, and it's like, I don't even know why I bought tickets. I knew this was going to happen. Stupid Cubs, whatever. My dad watched this. My brother and I, we watched this for 50 years now. I don't even know why I bought tickets.
Every year awesome. They say that, too. And
awesome.
then they're somehow they're the most hardcore fans in the world, but... You know, the Dodgers go there and win, too, and now we're coming back here.
Dodgers!
Not much hope.
Dodgers! Dodgers!
Didn't they get swept in the first round of the playoffs last year, Mike?
Who, the Cubs?
The Cubs.
The Cubs, yeah.
You're right.
I think they did.
Not hurt.
Listen, this is a staggering statistic.
A staggering statistic.
A little drunk.
This is a mess. The field where the Astros currently play has been around since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, in 2000, they've won 8 home games in the postseason. Wrigley Field in Chicago was built in 1914. And since 1914, they've won 7 playoff games in the postseason at home.
Wow.
Okay, so why are people still following them?
Oh, they just, they're born to
I know that, but at some point, don't you go, look, if because the owner's not going to try, he doesn't deserve my loyalty.
I don't think you can accuse the owners of not trying. I mean, they had the best record in the second best record in baseball and the best record in the, you know, in the National League. But I mean, they fielded a very competitive team, but they failed in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think that they've had a lot of good seasons, you know, sprinkled in and out of decades of futility.
There's a certain something to being a really good baseball team and being able to win the World Series.
Of course.
There's a great divide. It's not all about just being the best baseball
team. Right, but they've had different managers through the years and different, you know, teams, and it's all been, you know, you jumble it up to try and start again, and it just hasn't worked. We should take calls from Cubs fans today just to explain to us what it feels like to be a Cubs fan
and why they still are.
They played horrible baseball last night. It wasn't as if the Dodgers just came out it was not the Cubs' night. They really just played terrible.
Yeah. And it also has to be additionally frustrating to see the White Sox basically get their act together and win the World Series a few years ago by bringing in, you know, Ozzie Guillen and making some of the changes they made and just being great and winning it, you know, right in your face to have the other team do it. It's like how you feel, you know, most seasons with the Ducks. You look at them and go, how come we're, wait a minute.
I was just thinking that.
We could have some of that. Yeah. Hey, I wish we got that player. Come on.
Yeah.
But it's good news for Dodger fans, not so much for the Cubs. I guess only one team, Mike, since they went to this this playoff series with the division series, only one team has ever come back from 0-2.
Yeah, and it's so difficult because now they're coming back to, you know, now it's a Dodger home game. And
yes, that's right.
If teams can go to an away park and win 1 out of 2, that's all they want.
And now a Dodger team that went into the playoffs a little timid, I would imagine, being from a horrible, horrible division in the National League West. Now they got some confidence. You know, now they feel good about themselves. They're ready to roll. So it does not look good for the Chicago Cubs.
Hey, what happened to your theory, Mike, that no one would pitch to Manny?
Well, it didn't seem as if they did. In Game 1, they didn't pitch to Manny. He hit a ball that looked like Kevin's first game pitch to open the game at Dodger Stadium. It was bouncing on the plate, and he just muscled it out of the ballpark. Last night, Carlos Zambrano made a mistake. He let a ball get away from him, and Manny just hit it so far. I'm actually getting reports it hasn't landed. He hit it so hard and so far. I don't really think he wanted to throw that pitch. I mean, it just seemed like it was too good to be true.
Yeah, good times.
All right. Angels were off last night, I guess. So
That's right.
They continue. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, and it's the 3rd of Foxtober.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Yeah. That's hot. You take it. You take it now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You like that, don't you, bitch? I'm a bad boy. Yeah. Take that.
I'm going to enjoy Foxtober.
That sounds like a 12-year-old Bean in front of the mirror.
Exactly.
Practicing his game.
That's so unfair. I just recorded that last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, a half hour from now, we're going to talk to Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, he's so good.
He's in the new movie Blindness, which looks fascinating.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if blindness were caught like a cold or the flu?
Yeah.
That would be pretty bizarre. So that's coming up this morning.
I know a lot of blind people aren't going to go see it because they're ticked off about the story. I know that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's box office death when you start ticking off the blind moviegoers. You lose them. You might as well go straight to DVD. What's the point of even releasing to theaters?
You got nothing. Mr. Sustainable Dave today on the program?
Oh, yes. Sustainable.
Lisa's boyfriend.
I love him. I get good tips from him every month.
Oh.
I do.
Why are you such a retard?
I'm just green, Kevin.
Oh, dear God. We got to tell you about Chris Angel and his show some more.
Yes.
Reviews, not overwhelming. Apparently he sings in the show. Movie beat on the program today because it's Friday. Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL. Sarah Palin update on the debates last night.
Yep, watch those.
Even Kevin watched the debate last
night.
Did
you?
Thing I expected.
I watched part of it, but it just drives me out of my mind because she says something and it's clearly a distortion or an exaggeration, and he says, well, that's just not true. And then he says something that's a distortion or exaggeration. She says, that's just not true. And I mean, they both basically just sit there and lie and exaggerate. And
yeah,
why is that fun for anyone?
It's not fun. It's certainly not fun. And I will say that what's great now, though, more than ever, is they have all of these fact checkers, these organizations that exist just to do that. Yeah. And you can, you know, there are a lot of sources you can go to now, and you can see, all right, did Obama vote to raise taxes 96 times? Yes or no? And then it will give you an actual description of what really happened. Yes or no? And they do that point by point, which is great. But it is amazing that you're absolutely right that a politician can say something 1,000 times that isn't true.
Yep. And they just
continue to say it. Yeah. Even more frustrating for me, though, is, and both sides did this, I think Ms. Palin maybe a little bit more, is zero effort to answer the question.
Yeah, of course.
They'll ask a question and you'll just give part of your campaign stump speech.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
Has nothing to do with, and you almost wish as the moderator, because the moderator has a lot of, you know, a lot of freedom to, you know, to ask follow-up questions. When you almost wish the moderator would say, you didn't answer the question. Try again.
I know. I don't know why she didn't.
I've heard him do that occasionally, but it doesn't. It's because politicians won't.
Yeah.
I mean, we've interviewed
people. They'll just get more of the same.
We've interviewed people, even just like Arnold, he's a politician now, and it doesn't matter what question you ask them. They just take it as a transition into whatever topic they want to talk about.
No, you're absolutely, right.
And it's just so frustrating. I can't imagine watching that for fun.
I was certainly done with it by 7. I watched to the end, but at 7 I was like, what? It's an hour and a half? Are you serious? Oh, my God.
It.
There's a half hour more.
Just couldn't
I think, and honestly, I'm not the first person to think of this, but I think they need to somehow be hooked up to some sort of an electric shock machine.
Yes.
And if they go off topic, they get it right in the nipples. I mean, I really do think that's what needs to happen.
And
only way.
And if they lie, nipples.
Yep. Yeah, nipples. Exactly. Oh. It should hurt bad to lie.
Well, you wouldn't have the debates.
Although, Kevin, I know there was one highlight for you.
John McCain has already tapped me and said that's where I want you.
Okay.
Oh, man.
All right. I didn't realize he'd already gotten the job done, but...
That apparently is part of the vetting process.
He did say that he wants to drill, and he wants to drill now.
Yep.
I know that.
Drill,
sure
baby,
did.
Drill, I believe is the quote.
And then he tapped her, so all right.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat, that's next.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the Hills.
That's why I didn't tell you, because right here, you're judging
about
it.
We never used to argue like this.
That was a drama-filled moment on the Hills.
That show is strong, and it brings it.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What's it?
I don't know.
Define it.
Boredom.
Sleep.
Feces.
Yes.
That as well.
Fecal matter. Impacted fecal matter.
Oh, man. It's a good band name.
It is. You can improve it. Yeah, it's a great band name. Hey, could I put in a request for the Megan Fox Foxtober Spookfest song today, please? Come on.
Hit it, Steve.
Come on. I don't want to take your time here, Ralph, but later on we got to play it, because since the very first of Foxtober we haven't played it, so come on.
We'll get to it later on.
Why are you not celebrating, Kevin?
Well, I'm celebrating the month, just not the song.
That month.
5:52, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Since it is Foxtober, I'm looking forward to Halloween Spooks, the original, the one that brought
right.
the one that brought it all to our public consciousness. The one we have to thank
year.
For years and years of entertainment.
Did this disastrous sound that you started doing every month now, is that a response to me complaining too much about the
only
Halloween
Spooks?
Yeah, shoot. I overplayed my hand. Damn.
Just like you do every week with Ray Romano, man. Whoever else you're playing cards with out there in the wilderness. You guys are talking about The Hills. Well, it looks like popularity on MTV doesn't necessarily translate into sales, especially if you're Lauren Conrad and you have your own clothing line.
Really?
According to the New York Post, her clothes simply are not selling, and the chic Hollywood boutique Kitson,
you
know where Kevin gets all his sparkly T-shirts?
Yes.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah. Has 12 bins of creations from Lauren Conrad that they're trying to move out. The store has offered up a buy one, get one free policy with her clothing, and the stuff still isn't going out the
door.
How
embarrassing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Boy, they must have had high hopes if they shipped that much stuff.
Well, her representative says the reason there's so much left over, especially at Kitson, is originally the line just sold out. They couldn't keep it on the shelves. And then all the buyers reordered too much merchandise. And that's why they have excess of it. Because you know people, when
not
they love something,
that.
They stop buying it. Yeah. Oh, no, wait, they buy more. Yeah. So, it's glad to see her struggle in any way possible.
So she'll only make $4 million this year instead of $4.5 million.
Stop ruining it.
Ironically, 13 years to the day, a jury will take a look at O.J. Simpson again.
Oh, yeah.
Closing arguments ended yesterday for the case in Las Vegas to see whether O.J. is guilty of armed robbery and kidnapping in a Las Vegas hotel room.
What's the worst that could happen to him? I mean, what's the most time he could get or whatever, you know?
Does not say here what the possible penalty would be.
I haven't heard in a while, but it was pretty significant jail time. Pretty significant. I mean, it wasn't like a three-year deal or something. It was a lot.
Yeah, and especially there were like multiple counts initially when they first brought the charges. I don't know how many of those have stuck all the way through the trial. I believe it's just one count of each. But it could be, yeah, significant jail time. But it's just ironic that it was 13 years ago today.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. I'm just trying to be a good guy.
He's that just trying to be a good guy, Ralph.
But the jury acquitted him.
13 years ago today.
Could this be a lucky day for O.J.? Could this be the day he shoots for every one of his felony trials? If it was me, that's what I'd shoot for.
Sure.
Stratigate it on October 3rd. That's what I'd say to my lawyers.
And if not...
Come on.
What? Congratulations to James Earl Jones. He will be honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Screen Actors Guild at their award ceremony next January. Well earned.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest voices in Hollywood.
Yep. Yeah.
This is CNN.
Good actor, too.
Luke, you're my father. I am the Lion King's dad.
All those cool things he's done. And a great actor.
If you build it, they will come.
Was that him, too?
He was...
Yeah,
he was Kevin Costner's co-star in that film. He played the author that he kidnaps.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
He's very grumpy in that.
He's the best in
Very grumpy in that.
Coming to America.
I'm not a public person anymore.
And Coming to America as the king of whatever African country with a dead tiger just draped over his shoulder.
Very, very funny dude. Interestingly enough, and it's hard to believe now because we've come to know his voice so well, but he had a severe stutter throughout his early life.
Really?
Severe. Didn't conquer it until late in high school, early in college. That's when he was able to overcome it. But
well, that's encouraging for stutterers everywhere.
That wouldn't be nearly as effective.
No.
I don't like him on the fact that he's black.
Oh, come on.
What the hell?
Jesus. Playboy Magazine is opening up a casting call for their next layout, The Women of Wall Street.
Are these the ones that still have jobs? Or the
I don't know. I don't know what the policy is here, whether you get a golden parachute or not to be in this in this photograph layout.
Golden parachutes in Playboy? That's Hustler.
It's a whole different thing.
Gilligan. I guess they're trying to capitalize naturally on the dominating news story of the struggle of Wall Street currently, but could be interesting.
I'm sure they can find it.
I think Playboy magazine wants men to want to do to Wall Street what Wall Street's been doing to us for the past couple of years. That's why they're putting women in there with vaginas.
Wait, the women have vaginas?
Yes.
Wow.
Shannon Doherty, whose career has been given a second chance with the reunion of the 90210 cast, tells GQ magazine that she used to be quite the daredevil, but that all changed after she went swimming with sharks in Hawaii. She said she used to be brave and do all kinds of crazy things, but then she got into one of those cages and they lowered in the water and the sharks started attacking the cage. And she said, one, rubbed up against her leg.
She's suing?
See why. That would just change your life.
Can't be a surprise, though, if you're down there on purpose in a cage surrounded by sharks.
Waiting for sharks to come bang your cage.
I would love that. That'd be cool.
Yeah. And she said ever since then she hasn't been in the ocean.
Oh, really?
Stupid ass bitch.
She used to be a surfer and all kinds of good stuff, but now she's she got a little too close for comfort and is no longer comfortable.
Dude, I have a friend like that. Surfed his whole life. Didn't even see what it was, but something hit his leg and he thought it was a shark and he won't get it near the water again.
Wow.
Won't get near the ocean.
Your friend's a fruit.
Yes.
Your friend's Shannon Doherty.
Yep.
That's the case. And interesting how tragedies can sometimes bring people together. The Post Chronicle says that Mandy Moore is rekindling her romance with DJ AM.
Really?
The two dated for a long time. She went to visit, and apparently, this is according to the story again, his near brush with death has rekindled her feelings for him, and she realizes how much they care about each other, and apparently they are back together again.
Girl?
No.
What? So, maybe sometimes good things can come out of bad situations.
You're talking to the five-year-olds in the corner over there?
I said it last week. I would willingly accept that plane crash and that fade if it got me back together with Mandy Moore.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah,
let's set you on fire and see what happens. What do you say? Could happen.
Fire, not
make
fun.
Make a guarantee. I'll do it.
And sadly, Blake Lively of Gossip Girl.
I love it. I want to watch it every day. I wish I had a bowel to hit for her.
Odds are we won't be seeing her getting out of a limousine with no panties anytime soon.
Why not? Man.
By the way, it's been way too long.
Ladies, come on. Spread them.
Been a while.
Get out there and just flash that beef. She tells Fox News that where she grew up, the idea of going out after work meant dinner and a movie, not heading out to a club with no panties on. Well,
you can overcome that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a downer.
You live here now.
That's right. You're not wherever you came from before.
When in Rome.
So let's see it. Let's see it! She's 18, right? Can we bark at her?
Yeah. Oh, yes, she is.
Yeah. Look, let's face it. Most of these little bims aren't all that talented. Mm-hmm. So they should give us what they're there for. That's what they got to offer, really.
I'm not going
to
get an amazing performance out of Blake Lively on the C-dub. I'm not going to go, Emmy consideration. She's not an actress. She's a piece of candy. She's a confection.
She's like a candy corn. That's a bad example.
Because candy corn blows. Love candy corn
she's
so
like
much.
She's like a Mars bar.
That's pretty good. Snickers.
Yeah. Snickers. Snickers. Yeah. Junior Mint. Yeah. She's like a Junior Mint with no panties on.
Yeah.
I love candy corn so much. Why can't just stop being bad for 5 minutes?
I just bought my first bag of candy corn for the Halloween season this week. It was a thrill. I look forward to this time of year just for the candy corn.
You
I love
thrilled
candy
to
corn.
Buy that plastic.
It was a thrill.
It was a thrill. Because
I
kind of
do.
What? Let me tell you something about Lisa May. If it has any at all, even the slightest component of sugar,
come on.
It's all game for
that's
her.
A plus.
This is a woman who eats syrup. She eats cake frosting. As long as it's somehow sweet.
That's true.
Yeah. Of course I like candy corn.
Candy corn blow.
The
candy corn isn't really candy. It's more just...
It's sugar.
It's like melted plastic.
Nor is it corn. Yeah. Ugh. You get the sense that that's the only corn beans eaten in the past year is candy corn.
It's the best kind of corn.
Doesn't strike me as eating a lot of veggies up there on the island with his Pop-Tarts and chicken pot pies.
I tell you what else I love is those, you get this time of year is the mellow creams, too. I love those.
Okay, I'm out.
Those are awesome,
I don't
too.
Love those.
Bean goes down the list of bad tasting candy and he starts at the bottom and goes, that's my favorite.
That'll be my favorite. What does everyone else hate? Okay, I'll pick that as my favorite then. Woo, look at me.
Or if they stopped making it widely in 1940, right. He likes it. Yeah. Sure. That's another one.
If you can only buy it in a general store in the Ozarks somewhere on the back counter and you have to know the secret knock, then Bean's all for it.
Sometimes I have to drive to Idaho to go to the nearest Cracker Barrel just to get some of the candy I like.
I'm sure you do. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ashley Simpson Wentz. He's 42. Wow.
She's good for 42. She
does look good. 24.
Oh. Lexi is a bitch, people. Sean William Scott. From American Pie and Dukes of Hazzard is 32, Nev Campbell. Remember her from Party of Five?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's Party of 35. That's how old she is today. Gwen Stefani of No Doubt turns 39. I hate to say this, but Janelle Maloney of The West Wing is also 39.
That's too many bells for her.
She's Janelle hot. Maloney Way is the many. Candy corn of actresses. That's what Janelle Maloney is. The candy corn of attractive actresses.
I need to take a few of those back.
How about all of them?
Not all of them, Ralph. You give her one
She
bell.
Gets a bell.
One bell.
Maybe, like, on her best day on the red carpet outside the Emmys, she gets a bell.
How dare
now
you?
You're being a little harsh because he's being a little
No,
over.
Really. She's sort of a horsey-faced good actress, but come on. Bell?
Yes.
Yes, Bill?
Yes, Bill.
Bow? Tommy Lee is 46 years old today. Tommy, how are you going to celebrate your birthday, man? What are you going to do?
I'm going to rip. I'm going to shred.
Right.
You know.
What do you say your birthday is?
You know, bananas. I would think it's probably bananas.
All right.
Line.
Kevin's off stage holding a script. And Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy.
It's a lot of magic.
He is 64 years old today. Really? More or less. Whatever he's got going there.
Happy birthday to me.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, God.
Man, how
do
you hate?
Well, this song blows.
Megan Fox, Megan Fox, oh, Megan Fox. Big bulgy things are going to happen. And by that I mean a Megan Fox outside my window. Megan Fox behind the tree. I wish the whole world could see that she has the most perfect boobies. And it's Megan Fox outside my window plane.
Megan Fox.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Why is she so hot?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, remember Transformers was you checking under the hood?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Yeah, that was good. I like to check under her hood, if you know what I mean, with my dipstick.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, she's so hot. Yeah, and Kevin, you're gay if you don't like this song.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
It's Foxtober.
Megan Fox, outside my window. Megan Fox, behind the tree.
Did I mention she's hot?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
I'm a little bit worried that Omar, speaking for the group, is going to make Megan Fox be scared of us. That's what I'm afraid of, is that he's going to... We're our love is pure. He does seem like a creepy Muppet on that song.
He does. And you've got that role covered.
Yeah, our quite well. Love is pure.
Our you love is pure. Are,
no, no.
Your love your is going to scare her away. And now no, yours no, and no. Omar's exactly. put together no, is going to no. guarantee.
You are icky.
I just want Megan to know that this is a safe, welcoming, warm environment.
Right. I
for
wish
her.
It were.
You spoiled
it. It is.
Already.
It is. No. Look, that's why you got the restraining order and I have to be 1,000 miles away at all times. There's no danger of Megan Fox when she comes in. I'm safely locked away.
Ew.
But,
well, we got to have Omar safely locked away.
Yeah.
Now, too,
definitely.
As well. I'm just saying, I don't think he's making it better. That's all I'm saying.
All right, we're going to have an awesome, awesome, awesome actor who we all love so much, Mark Ruffalo, on the phone here in 1 second. And his film is called Blindness, and we'll talk to him about that. But this is what I love about Psycho Mike. Is Psycho Mike lives in the same world that we do, mm-hmm. and he knows that there's a movie called Blindness coming out that looks awesome. Yet, what's Mike's choice going to be today?
Oh, what do you think? Stupid Chihuahua?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Mike, no.
How do you – I mean, have you seen the commercials for this Blindness movie? Do you see how awesome it looks? Mark Ruffalo, Julianne Moore, looks creepy
They're
and scary
first.
And thought-provoking. You're going to a talking dog movie.
I know. I have a responsibility as a chi owner to do what I need to do. And
you
I'm
call
sorry.
Them cheese, do you?
That's the people in the know.
All right. Let's see if Mr. Ruffalo can talk you out of it because he's probably smarter than we are. Hey, Mark, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Going, guys.
Very good, thank you.
It's going fine, but what are we supposed to do about a coworker who wants to go see Beverly Hills Chihuahua this weekend? We can't abide by that, can we?
I don't think there's anything you can do about that.
Yeah, that's true.
We've lost him.
He's a lost cause and has been for quite some time.
We've been very much looking forward to Blindness since we saw the first commercial. For folks who maybe haven't caught wind of it yet, it does open everywhere today. Mark, tell them what it's about.
About basically the entire world getting kind of a SARS-like virus, and which leaves them blind. And then everyone but one woman, and then how they deal with it.
You could catch blindness. That is a scary thought.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it's very, very contagious. It's like pink eye at school.
What is it, and I understand that there's some stuff you don't want to say, and I wouldn't want you to give anything away, but just, I didn't read the book, although I know it was very acclaimed. What is it that that makes people go so crazy when they go blind? Why aren't they still good, decent people living their lives as blind people? Why do so many people go and turn into monsters as a result of this?
Well, what happens is you know, it's kind of a Katrina moment. The government quarantines the people. It's not the blindness that makes them crazy. It's the fact that they don't have food and water and, you know, a way to eliminate their waste. It's the total breakdown of all of the kind of infrastructures that are in place for people to live with some decency with each other.
So they take the newly blind people and they put them inside four walls and don't give them anything?
Yeah, and what happens is as the rest of the world, as this thing spreads, there's no one to take care of them anymore. And,
oh, I see.
And so it's not that they're blind that makes them, because they're doing okay, you know, and actually they really have to rely on each other. More of our better qualities as human beings come out because they go blind. You know, they can't see race, they can't see all the material things that we judge people on, and so they're doing pretty good. And then what happens is the government fails them. They don't give them food. They treat them like animals. It's overcrowded. There's no fresh water. It's what happens to people when they're denied just basic, you know, things.
Good times.
As human.
Yeah. And imagine, I have a clip. Imagine that that first moment when you realize that blindness is catching.
They can't see.
What?
Somehow the patient I saw yesterday must have infected me.
Nobody goes blind like that. That's...
Well, there's at least two of us now. Oh, no! No, go off! Oh, God, no, you touched... No, it's infectious.
No.
I'm telling you, it's infectious.
No,
he gave it to me.
Okay,
it's contagious.
Right. I'm not going to get sick. I'm not going to get sick.
I'm thinking...
Yeah, that would not be good.
That gave me chills. That's so creepy.
Mark, this has to be one of those movies that you're so happy to leave the theater and realize that it's over because it's such a nightmare and that you can see. That sunlight walking out of the theater is going to feel pretty good tomorrow.
Well, actually, it actually has a happy ending, believe it or not, which makes it, I think, worth all the misery.
That's always helpful.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I know that the book was dark and the book won the Pulitzer and was beloved. And I know that you've got to stay true somewhat to the source material, but it's so dark. I almost wish you'd made it either animated or a musical.
Blindness, the musical?
Yes. I think what this story needs is some songs to kind of pep it up.
We can't see and we sure would like food. Something like that? Put a chihuahua in it.
Look,
there you go.
It could happen, you guys. Don't even laugh about that.
It could happen in the musical.
Sure. Yes, eventually. Yeah.
That's the weird thing about stories like this is there, and from what I've seen, I mean, it looks so realistic when it comes across you guys. It's, you know, the guy driving down the street and it just happens. You start to worry if you're a little bit paranoid or, you know, if you're one of those people who, like, you know, you get sick just thinking about it.
Right.
You kind of think, oh, my God, what if? It's just terrifying. But it definitely looks like this is a great time of year because movies like this start to come out. You know, you got some stuff that you can really sink your teeth into, some serious movies with great actors. And we're very excited about Blindness, Mark. And we're all big fans of yours. And we hope this movie does real well for you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, just in case there are any Cubs fans listening right now, play it again, would you?
Sure.
3-2. The runners are off again. And strike three right at the knees, and Ward goes down on strikes, and the ball game is over, and the Dodgers win it 10-3 and have taken a 2-0 lead over the Cubs in this divisional series.
It's got to kind of suck on one hand to be that excited. The Dodgers, of course, were excited winning two in Chicago, but no one there was happy. Everybody was upset and booing.
Oh,
I mean,
of course.
I guess that's also a kind of payoff, but...
Here's part of what's going on is, of course, you're eliminated if you lose this series. So those fans are walking out of the park and thinking to themselves, this is probably the last time I'll be at Wrigley Field until April. So it's pretty much over. It's not looking pretty good.
Mike said he saw some of the Cubs fans after the game being interviewed, and they were just ready to commit suicide. I mean, some of them were almost happy that it was kind of not going to tease them any longer because they knew the collapse.
If you stretch it out.
Yeah. So let's say they beat the Dodgers and they go on to the next round. They're going to lose.
Right.
Right.
That's kind of a foregone conclusion in Cubs fans' heads because that's what they've been trained to learn.
Well, and going into any game in the postseason, Cubs fans have this almost self-fulfilling prophecy idea where the first error in the first inning that, you know, a Cubs player can make, they're like, that's it. Here you go. Curse.
There we go again.
Curse. Done.
By the way, I'm so glad you brought that up, Michael. And we do want to talk to Cubs fans right now at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from you how you're processing this. Are you one of these people like our friend Matt Money Smith, who's a lifelong Cubs fan, who almost is going to be relieved when it's over so he doesn't have to sweat it anymore?
Yeah.
We want to know what you think. I don't want to hear about the curse. Okay, this year in particular, I don't want to hear about the curse. You can make an argument when the fan, when the fan interfered with the game.
Yeah, that was
previously.
Weird.
You can make an argument for that being hinky, not a curse, but at least you had something legitimate to complain about. Your team just sucks this week. I mean, you're just playing poorly. You're not hitting. You're not fielding. You're not making good decisions, and it's not a curse. It's just bad baseball.
It's nice to be able to blame it on a curse, but it isn't.
It isn't. It's just bad baseball. And Lou Piniella, you know, who's the manager of the Cubs, he said as much in the postgame last night. He said, look, we're just not playing very well. So it doesn't have anything to do with the curse. But are you one of those people who is a little bit relieved that you don't have to worry about the Cubs losing in the next round?
About when the collapse will come.
Because it's going to be over this weekend. It's almost like an unbelievably hot chick. You'd rather she just told you you'll never have a chance as long as you live rather than lead you on that maybe one day you'll get some of that.
Get your hopes up. Yeah, that's true.
We are one. With the Cubs we're in love.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Yeah, hold our head high as the underdogs. We are not fair weather, but foul weather fans.
That's because that's all there is.
Like brothers in arms in the streets and the stands. There's magic in the ivy in the old scoreboard.
Not last night.
The same when I stared at as a kid keeping score. In a world full of greed, I could never want more. Someday we'll go all the way.
But not this year.
Someday we'll go all the way.
Not this weekend.
Someday we'll go all the way after I'm dead.
Someday we'll never arrive.
Wow.
Let's look at Rob real quick. He's at Huntington Beach on line two. And again, we're looking for Cubs fans, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Rob, how you feeling this morning, dude?
A little depressed. It's kind of like, yeah. You know, thinking you're going to get the hot date, you know, at the sure. at the dance, and you wind up going home with the ugly drunk chick.
The Cubs did have the second best record this year, right?
In baseball. Best record in the National League.
Wow. So you would certainly hope for a little more than the first round in the playoffs.
No kidding.
Yeah, you know, it's 100 years now, so we're kind of hoping we break this, and you never know. You know, they could come back and take one from the Dodgers.
Sure.
Get them a little, you know, going. And
yeah, but you don't believe that, Rob. But, Rob, hang on a second. You don't believe that the Cubs are going to come out here. There are two games here, right?
Yeah.
And win one of those two games after losing two at home.
Hey, if Psycho Mike can get a, you know, can get a job with you guys, you know, with his little chihuahua,
yeah.
Anything can happen.
Okay. All right. That's
you
acceptable.
Know? And the one thing I look at least we're not the Raiders and we don't have Al Davis.
Well, that's true. That is true. The Raider fans do have to deal with Al Davis.
Yeah, you know, the Raiders have no hope.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Rob, because we were talking earlier this morning about fans and the frustration that they sometimes have with owners and with the management. But Cubs fans, especially lately, with Lou and the team that you guys have put on the field, you really don't have anything to complain about. All the pieces are in place to win, right?
Yeah, they just need a little postseason experience.
But you don't believe in any BS curse, do you, Rob?
A little bit. I do believe there is some curse. I mean, you look at the Red Sox, you know, they had to reverse their curse, and the Yankees have gone in the crapper now. So, I don't know. Maybe we need to play a couple of goats at the field. I don't know.
Do you think that's what needs to happen is sacrificial lambs?
Yeah, just a little sacrificial goat.
All right.
The curse of the goat.
Well, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. The one thing that Cubs fans and Dodger fans and Red Sox fans can all agree on is it's so sweet to not have the Yankees in the postseason. It really just feels good.
We will take your calls if you're Cubs fans about if there's a curse and if the Cubs actually have a chance, or are you a little relieved because she was going to dump you anyway, the playoffs.
Yeah, as well the just playoffs rip are off the Band-Aid,
it's
right?
A harsh mistress, the playoffs. And she was going to let you down anyway, so why not get it over with? Sing it if you know it.
See, this is why the Dodgers are so manhandling the Cubs, is because we have a better song. Because we got the Anthony Kiedis song, they've only got the Ed Vedder song. Talking about the Dodgers going up 2-0 in the division series, the National League game last night, they won big, 10-3. It was never close. And the Cubs fans are miserable. I guess Mike saw him coming out of the stadium last night just crying and almost relieved that it was almost over. So we're talking to Cubs fans this morning at 1-800-520-1067. Please don't tell us the curse. Please tell us how you're feeling and how do you deal with never winning in your lifetime. Who do you want to start with?
Let's start with Dan in San Clemente. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How's it going?
Hi,
Cubs
Dan.
Fan?
It's going all right, I guess. I'm just on my way to work, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was the game last night?
Well, you know, it sucked because, well, it's just another freaking loss. It just proves again. I mean, you could say everything you guys want about curses, but in the end, it just boils down to just crappy play.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What can actually win or lose.
That's what we're saying, though. I mean, we're saying a lot of people seem to want to blame it on some random curse, which means they don't really have much, you know, power over it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really, because, you know, you could say everything you want about curses.
with my personal experiences, every single time I've gone to see the Cubs play live, they've always lost.
Well, maybe it's you, Dan.
I think it may be.
Yeah.
My last time I went and saw the Cubs play was down in Petco when I just got back off an 8-month deployment to the Persian Gulf. And they were on a 10-game win streak, and as soon as I got there to see them, they lost.
They're going
to
have your picture up at the gates. Don't let this guy in.
I just label myself number one friggin' bad guy. In all
Look, dude, it wasn't. You weren't there last night. You weren't there the night before. So you know they can't blame you for this one. It's just they're not making it. They're not making it happen.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Cindy in Los Angeles. Good morning, Cindy.
Hi there.
How is it being a Cubs fan today?
It's a little harder than it should be.
Yeah.
You've had a great season.
We have had a fantastic season. It's been great. I've had so much fun all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that help you now?
Well, what helps me now is that I recall that in 1984, which was a horrible, horrible year, wasn't it that the Padres lost 2 to us and then won 3 in a row? So there's no reason to think that that couldn't possibly happen.
Well, sure, look, there's a chance.
It does happen. It was only a few, I think it was 2004, wasn't it, when the Yankees won the first 3 games of a best-of-7 series and the Red Sox came back and won the next 4. I mean, crazy things do happen in all sports.
Absolutely.
And we're not saying that it's not possible, but bearing in mind that it is the Cubs, it's pretty unlikely.
Well, yeah, but we just accept that. We
you have that. Not been trained for your team to come back in the playoffs and take it.
No. But, Kevin, I mean, it's just, you know how you hate those fans that stick Lakers flags on their cars when the playoffs start?
Yeah, I don't hate it as much as Psycho Mike, but yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's, you know, it's in your blood. You're born with it. You are a Cubs fan, and you just, you realize that you can put up with this. You can live through it.
Wow.
It hurts, but we can do it.
Sure wish I had that opportunity to be a Cubs fan, but nope. Thanks for the call.
I'm glad CD called it. It's only been 100 years, okay? So, you know, don't sweat it.
Yeah, don't.
Just hang in there. Be patient.
Let's go to Jeremy in Newport Beach. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
We are doing good.
Yeah. So,
how are you today?
I'm pretty good. I'm stuck in traffic here. It's actually my birthday.
It's your birthday. How nice.
Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Cubs gave you a big old gift last night, didn't they?
Not really.
Not really.
I was saying that me and my brother, at least, we've come to almost expect this. And we live for the drama, actually. Like, we live to lose. Believe it or not, we're the lovable losers for a reason.
Okay, now what does that mean? It means you expect it, and you just want to see not if it's going to happen, but how it's going to happen?
You expect it in the back of your mind. Yeah. And you as a Cubs fan, we've almost come to live.
Enjoy the pain.
On the edge, exactly, to them. About to getting it to getting second place.
Yeah,
but you want them very badly to win, though, right? I mean, nothing would make you happier than a Cubs World Series win, right?
And listen to here. I really think Harden. You know, when he's on, he's on. You know, you win Game 3, and Game 4 is up for grabs. So
sure.
You never. You always got hope, but you definitely always feel the drama.
But you've been trained by the drama, Jeremy. And here's what I think is funny in a cruel, mean way is that you all season long, Cubs fans have been encouraged because they had the second best record. They were playing great, great team. Maybe this is the year. And then the first 2 playoff games, they lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to be all right. Another 100 years. That's what I'm saying.
Another 100 years.
See, if you lose this one, you might as well lose the next 99.
That's right.
Because you can only win every 100 years.
That's right.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's take one more from a Cubs fan who doesn't think it's over. Mikey is in Ontario. He believes in the Cubs and they're coming back. Am I right, Mike?
Oh, I believe it.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been a Cubs fan?
I've been a Cubs fan for about 13 years now.
Yeah.
Okay. And what makes you have any kind of confidence being down 0-2 heading away to play? What makes you think that that's a good formula for success?
Any real baseball fan knows that the Cubs come in the clutch, and once we get that fire started, we get it going. We had that one run last night, and that ran into 2 more runs.
Right, and the Dodgers had 10,
which is more.
It didn't win it, but it still started the fire.
It still started a fire. And are they going to be able to bring the fire to L.A.?
The fire just started last night.
Okay.
It's a massive, full-blown fire.
So, Mikey, okay. let me make sure I understand. You're saying you've got the Dodgers right where you want them because the Cubs have unbelievable momentum right now.
Exactly.
Okay.
I like it.
It is possible, and we have to applaud your optimism.
Well, it's not optimism, it's the truth, and I'm sorry to bring it
to
you.
Oh, it's the truth!
Okay.
Oh,
all
I
right.
thought it was just optimism.
All right. Hey, did we mention the new K-Rock sticker yet? Have we said anything about that?
No, we did not.
Dude, tickets to every single show that K-Rock participates in, that we put on, that we go to, that we know about in 2009 is the grand prize drawing that we'll be doing if you mail in the back of your K-Rock sticker, available at all Southern California Del Taco locations. And, as if that's not enough, how about a brand new car, too, a 2009 Toyota Matrix? How about all of that? Del Taco is where you want to go to get your sticker. Details at KRock.com.
Plus, I hear if you put them on your head, it'll help you grow hair.
I've heard that, too.
That's true. Yeah.
It's true.
Just apply to the forehead.
That's
just
correct.
Just apply to the forehead. Just apply to the forehead.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Can the golden ticket get me in to see Neil Diamond at the Hollywood Bowl?
No. K-Rock shows.
That should be a K-Rock show.
Yeah, but it isn't.
But it should be.
Nope.
Does he have more dates coming up?
Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, no thanks.
Oh. Mm-mm. Dude, he's great. He's great live, Kevin. You're missing out if you haven't seen Neil.
Okay.
I'm telling you. I'll be there.
Dude, last time I was there, Jimmy Kimmel was sitting next to me.
Jimmy loves him.
So do I.
I don't.
So great do I.
Show. That's fantastic. Enjoy.
Neil Diamond rules.
They're coming to America.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah.
I think Kevin knows who Neil
Diamond is. I do know.
Like him.
Not a big fan.
I don't think he knows. No one knows the song.
Mm. Cracklin' Rose, get on board.
Yeah, aware of that.
Hello again. Hello.
Yep. Anything sound familiar?
Yeah.
Anything
ring a bell? That sounds familiar. I'm just not
good,
a fan.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
No.
Good. Sounds good.
No.
Well, this sounds good. Finally, we're getting a little taste of the new Jack White, Alicia Keys song that is the theme song to the new James Bond movie, Quantum of Solace.
They're sticking with that title, aren't they?
They sure are.
Hmm.
However, you know, they're picking some cool people to do Bond themes these days. They went through a period of time where all the Bond songs were major hits in the 60s and 70s. Then it kind of fell off, and they pulled a lot of crappy people like A-ha and people to do Bond songs, and yeah. Blue. Yeah, A-ha did a Bond song.
How dare you with the Living Daylights. I love that song.
Oh, blows. And now they're coming around again. They had Chris Cornell do the last one. Now Jack White and Alicia Keys have done the song.
That's
for...
That's a strange duet, isn't it?
It is an odd... It was mostly Jack... He wrote and produced the song, and he brought Alicia in to sing. Is it the White Keys? Should we call it the new band?
Sure, the White Keys.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm glad, much like Chris Cornell, now musicians are just abandoning the titles whatsoever. Used to be you had to work the title into the song. They're like, F you. This is the Bond song. Has nothing to do with your title. Screw
really?
You.
Really? Awesome.
Chris Cornell's was, You Know My Name.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which was not the title of Casino Royale, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, but how's he going to work Casino Royale into the song, for God's sakes? This would be even harder, Quantum of Solace.
The only thing that rhymes with it is Mike Wallace. I told you that before. You have to do a song about 60 Minutes.
Kelly Savalas,
yeah.
There you go.
Do a song about Kojak. This is called Another Way to Die, which would have been a better title than Quantum of Solace, quite frankly.
Much better title for the movie.
I love when Bond titles have Die in it. Live and Let Die, Die sure. Another Day. Die, Sucker, Die.
Was that one of them?
That
was
my favorite.
Yeah. My favorite one.
Neil Diamond did that for you, remember?
Die, Sucker, Die.
Here is Another Way to Die, a little taste of Jack Black, or Jack White,
Jack
rather.
Black.
It would be cool if That'd Jack Black awesome. Was in it.
It would be cool.
And Alicia Keys.
Another ringer with a slick trigger finger for her majesty. Another one with the golden tongue poison in your fantasy. Another pill from a killer turn a thriller to a tragedy. Yeah, I'm gonna open a woman walking by. A drop in the water, a look in the eye. A problem on the table, a man on your side. Or someone that you think that you can trust.
That's pretty good.
Got a good groove to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
You can almost imagine, like, naked silhouettes of girls dancing around
sure.
and gun barrels, that kind of James Bond opening things. Got a sort of a modern yet retro feel at the same time.
That's a pretty good song.
When does the movie come out, Ralph?
Comes out November the 14th, Lisa.
Oh, cool.
How do you feel if you're Meg White sitting home and Jack White gets the call to do the theme and he doesn't call you as much as he calls Alicia Keys, who's not you, and you're sitting at home going, over here, over here.
Well, she doesn't really sing so much.
But you'd think that he would want her to be involved somehow.
There was a drummer on that song.
Yeah, it was not Meg White.
No,
I don't even need to check the liner notes.
Because you can hear he was playing well and keeping the beat.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You made a good choice. That's a good sounding song.
How do you feel if you're Meg White and you look in the mirror?
Oh,
come on.
You go, whoa, it's Wednesday from the Addams Family. How'd she get in my mirror?
Come on.
That's got to suck.
I find her quite attractive.
I like eat candy corn with her.
Oh, that would be a dream come true.
Bavarian restaurant.
Jimmy Smits killed a bitch on TV.
No, he didn't.
And got probation.
Oh.
On TV?
Jimmy Smits was filming a scene for the TV show Dexter when he grabbed a real knife instead of a prop knife during shooting and plunged it into a stuntman's chest.
No.
My God.
You're kidding.
Not the ideal way to film a scene.
Why did they even have real knives around?
Apparently on the set, there was a collection of knives in this particular scene, and Smits was supposed to grab the prop knife, grabbed the real knife. According to the stuntman, for the scene, I was bound in saran wrap, duct tape over my mouth. I couldn't say a thing as I saw Jimmy grab the wrong knife.
Wow.
He picked up the real one by a pure mistake, but it was a mean-looking knife. I heard fellow actor Michael C. Hall yelling at Jimmy to stop, but it was too late. I felt the thud in my chest. Luckily, the stuntman had a plastic breastplate on his chest.
Oh, so it blocked it?
I guess it was set to be a blood squib. Sometimes they put those blood packs on there, you know?
Wow.
And the blade of the knife hit the outside of the plastic breastplate, and it just caught the edge of it.
Wow.
But luckily, it didn't hurt the stuntman.
Oh, my.
Okay, that's really not cool.
Yeah.
That isn't good for you.
Initially, I thought I'd really been stabbed in the heart, but I didn't have a scratch. Jimmy was devastated and couldn't stop apologizing. I told him I felt more sorry for him than I did for me. So it's a good ending to the story, but a scary moment over there on the set of Dexter.
If you're shooting Dexter, which is a show about a serial killer, go ahead and put the real knives away.
Yeah, no kidding.
Get all the rubber knives
just
out.
Just a thought.
Here's a little Kristen Bell information.
Ooh, I love Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. I love Kristen Bell.
Seen her new Gap ad?
No.
Seen her new Gap?
Oh!
Apparently she's got a new gig. Thanks to listener Paul, my unofficial correspondent, for sending me this story. She is going to be the female lead in a new animated film based on the classic Japanese animated TV series Astro Boy.
Oh, fantastic. I love Astro Boy.
I don't know how many people remember Astro Boy.
I don't know anything about Astro Boy.
It was a huge animated TV series out of Japan in the 60s, and then a smash hit here in the States in the late 60s, early 70s when it started going into syndication. And now they're doing a new Astro Boy, and it will star Freddie Highmore, the little kid from that
all
movie
those movies.
Yeah. Where all he plays a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
He will be Astro Boy.
Yes.
Donald Sutherland, Nicolas Cage, Nathan Lane. And now Kristen Bell has signed on to be the female lead in that Astro Boy movie. So,
yes.
I never saw Astro Boy at the time, of course, but I got the DVDs when it came out a couple years ago. I just love it.
That's a great story.
Did you get the redone or the new Astro Boy version or the old black and white Astro Boys?
I think it's the old black and white ones.
Yeah, those are the good ones. I'm a big fan.
Hmm.
And I love it when crazy fans and bad parenting mix.
Crazy fans, bad parenting.
And this happened in London. Apparently, Vinnie England, coincidentally enough, who lives in London, is a little three-year-old boy whose parents are huge fans of The Simpsons.
Yes.
The toddler's parents thought it would be adorable to get a henna tattoo of Bart Simpson on little Vinny's arm while the family was out shopping. Here's the problem. They didn't know that Vinny had a severe allergy to henna.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no.
How would you know?
You wouldn't know. They put it on little Vinny's skin, and it caused the kid a ton of pain, but more importantly, severe blistering.
Wow.
The henna ink faded away, as it does in about 10 days, but unfortunately, the blistering caused a permanent scar in the shape of Bart Simpson's face on the boy's arm.
That's pretty cool.
Doctors say he may have Bart Simpson on his arm for the remainder of his life.
That's going to be the new fashion thing, is you got to get something burned into it. I like it.
Yeah. So a little three-year-old boy now has Bart Simpson permanently burned into his arm.
Could be worse.
How about that?
No! Could be worse, Lisa says. She likes burning three-year-olds.
Could be worse.
She
could
likes
worse.
Burning three-year-olds.
No, I'm thinking of other things that might be permanently burned into his arm.
How about the three-year-old was blind? You could leave him around on a leash and just bang him into poles.
See, that would be worse.
That'd be more fun for you, wouldn't it?
That would be worse.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy. Roy's the one who danced with the tiger.
He is.
Montecore wrecked him.
64.
I think that was 5 years ago today. It happened on his 59th birthday, if I remember correctly.
Good. Good, good birthday times. Present right there.
Something to remember every year on your birthday. Yeah, good times, bad times.
64 years old he is today. Tommy Lee of Motley Crue turns 46. Janelle Maloney of the West Wing turns 39. Gwen Stefani, our old pal from No Doubt and from her life.
Her solo act.
Her being Gwen Stefani.
Her being big-time star Gwen Stefani. She's 39.
Having a little fewer kids, a little more No Doubt, by the way, Gwen, if you're listening.
Nev Campbell's 35. Sean William Scott turns 32. And Ashley Simpson Wentz is 24 years old today.
Is she a bell?
I think so.
She's attractive.
She's attractive, yeah.
Especially since the nose job.
Yeah.
You're right, Kevin? You're right with that?
I'm just saying.
Look, I know, I know you hate
That's
her.
A big strike against her.
We all hate her, but you can't take away the fact that she's attractive.
All right.
I think you'd hit it.
Yeah, but I'd make it hurt.
Yeah. Thank you, Ralph. You didn't enjoy it?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You're going to talk to a guy next who doesn't throw his trash away. Do you understand?
He keeps it?
He's crazy.
I understood it when we talked to him in January, and then again in February, and March, and April, and May, and June, and July, and August, September, and I guess now it's October. It's time for the Sustainable Day.
Foxtober.
Yeah. Plus, a woman who dressed up as a cow and terrorized children. All of that this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. What channel did you guys watch the debate on last night, the vice presidential debate between Governor Palin and Senator Biden?
MSNBC.
I don't know. I started watching it and then tried to find anything else quickly because I just I can't watch that. They both lie. It drives me crazy.
They are politicians after all, and, you know, it takes a certain kind of person to be a politician, I guess. But I was watching it on CNN, and they have this thing that they're doing, and I don't know if it's new this year or not, but they have audience members who have, like on a game show, they have a control in their hand that they adjust a dial based on whether they like what the person is saying or not.
Yeah, I know. I hate
so
that.
So you can actually see a graph of – I mean, while the debate's going on, you see a graph of how popular the things are that people are saying. Boy, do women love Sarah Palin.
Do they?
Boy, do they dig this chick. And maybe it's her down-home folksy charm that she brought in spades last night.
I say it ain't so, Joe. There you go again, pointing backwards again, though. You prefaced your whole comment with the Bush administration. Now, doggone it, let's look ahead and tell Americans what we have to plan to do for them in the future.
Now, doggone it.
She, by all accounts, it doesn't matter how critical you have been of Sarah Palin in the last 5 weeks since John McCain picked her for the ticket, she hit a home run last night in terms of besting expectations of what people thought she was going to be doing on
the
day.
Well, you know what she did was she lowered expectations with that Katie Couric interview.
Yeah.
She brought them right down to just bare minimum on the ground, and then she just came through normally in the debate, and it looked great.
Right.
I think she did better than normal. I mean, I think it was a very, very good debate performance. I mean, it was a little frustrating. There were several questions she didn't want to answer at all, and she pretty much just stuck to the speech. But let's do one more, and then I believe we have the governor on the phone.
Oh, man, it's so obvious that I'm a Washington outsider, and someone just not used to the way you guys operate, because here you voted for the war and now you oppose the war. You're one who says, you know, as so many politicians do, I was for it before I was against it or vice versa. Americans are craving that straight talk.
We're craving it. Sarah Palin, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ for the first time. How are you, Governor?
Well, good morning. How are you?
We are very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me here on your show.
How do you think you did last night?
Well, doggone it, I thought that the American people sure wanted some straight talk.
Right.
And I feel that that's what we gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're responding to the fact that John McCain and I were mavericks and we're sitting around the kitchen table looking at how much of a maverick we both can are.
What?
And putting together the plans for looking forward and that darn right.
Okay. All right.
By the way, my wife wanted to put a bullet in her head every time she heard the word maverick last night. For some reason, after the first like 1,000 times, she just couldn't hang with it anymore. My problem, Governor, was nuclear. What's going on with nuclear? Why is that?
I believe nuclear is an option for energy.
No.
Right.
Drill,
but
baby, drill. That's what they say at my rallies.
I'm sure they do.
So I think we should start drilling into nuclear power plants. And that way you get the best of both worlds.
No, that would be bad.
You put a drill
right
in
that would be a disaster.
Nuclear power plant and ask the mom at the soccer game what she wants, don't
you know? I think Bean was referring to the way the word is said.
the pronunciation of drill? Nuclear. No, no, nuclear is the right? correct word. You and the president seem to think it's nuclear, and I don't know why that is, because you obviously are a smart, educated woman. Why do you still say nuclear?
Oh, say it ain't so, Bean. There you are, looking backwards again.
What?
And I want to look forwards and say what I'm going to say next.
Okay, say nuclear. Say nuclear.
Nuclear.
Okay.
Okay, that was close.
Nuclear.
Not as good.
Okay, yeah, I don't think.
Nuclear.
There was one interesting moment in the debate last night, Governor, and that is when you were asked about the responsibilities of being vice president.
No, of course, we know what a vice president does, and that's not only preside over the Senate, and we'll take that position very seriously also. I'm thankful that the Constitution would allow a bit more authority given to the vice president also, if that vice president so chose to exert it in working with the Senate.
Yeah, the Constitution doesn't provide for that at all. Your only job as a legislator is to cast a vote in a tie. It's only Dick Cheney who decided that the vice president gets to run the country.
Oh, say it ain't so, Bean. There you are again, looking backwards. You can tell I'm not a Washington insider because I don't even understand what you're saying with your constitution and your laws and those things. I bet you that I don't know.
I thought this was it. First of all, what did you think about Gwen Ifill being the moderator of the debate last night? There was a lot of controversy about a selection of her, but I thought she did a fair and balanced job. What do you think, Governor?
I think Gwen Ifill is a heck of a gal. Mm-hmm. And I think the tower she built in Paris is something really impressive.
She didn't build the Eiffel Tower. That's not. That's,
well, why'd they put her name on it then? I don't know.
That's not the
what
same.
What the heck's going on there?
Thing.
But
it's
I'm a maverick, and I don't have to build something to put a name on it. I believe that that's just a white flag of surrender when you tap me, I betcha.
Oh, speaking of tapping, is it true that Senator McCain actually tapped you? Because here's the clip from the debate.
John McCain has already tapped me and said that's where I want you.
I mean, come on. Is that how you got the job, Governor?
Well, John McCain is a maverick, and we were sitting around the kitchen table.
Sure.
Kitchen table again, yeah.
Looking down Main Street.
Right.
And I
love the Main Street.
Main Street looks like there's a lot of traffic on it, so
sure.
Maybe we should take a detour. And then, you know, Todd and I, we've both been on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you make a left, I think it's Maple Avenue there, where you go down the street
it's
there.
Not...
And ask anyone at that soccer game on Maple Street, if John McCain has tapped me, and
okay.
I bet you they'll say, darn right, he's a maverick and an outsider. But let's
right.
not look backwards.
Okay, Governor. Listen, we're out of time. We've enjoyed talking to you. I hope we'll get a chance to do it again before the election, okay?
Well, I hope that you will think of me and Senator John McCain
mm-hmm.
when it comes time for voting and realize
certainly.
That Senator Obama and Senator O'Biden don't really offer you the answers
Biden.
That the outsider maverick team, and what a team we can be if there's darn right heck of fire sure doggone it what the heck. I bet you that you would say don't use Vaseline with condoms, Bristol. That'll eat right through it.
I don't know. How do we get to this
message.
Point?
That's a good message to leave us
go,
with, Governor.
Backwards again.
All right, listen, we got to.
Sustainable Dave, Sustainable Dave. He really cares about the environment. Sustainable Dave, Sustainable Dave. He keeps all his trash in his basement. We talk to him once a month. I wonder what he'll say. Oh, I know he will say, I did not throw any trash away. It's time for Sustainable Dave. That dude is crazy. Yeah.
You crazy.
Yeah, he sure is crazy with that not throwing stuff away.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
This is installment number 10 of Kevin and Bean make fun of Sustainable Dave, yet he still keeps coming back for more. How are you, Sustainable?
I'm doing well. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Each installment, by the way, Bean, has been as fresh as the last
it
one,
has.
I want you to know, since January. It's just been just new information after new information.
Well, Ralph, in January, we talked to Sustainable Dave about not throwing trash away.
Right. That's true.
Uh-huh. And then in February, we talked to him about his trash that he wasn't throwing away.
Oh, I see.
And in March, we talked to him about the stuff he was keeping.
I think Ralph may be missing some of the subtleties, possibly.
Is that right?
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Dave, we are running a little bit late on time here today, but we do have some things we want to catch up with you. First of all, Dave is an international sensation. He, of course, has been on CNN and CNN.com. They did a nice piece on him in Time Magazine. And by the way, I'm beginning to think this Dave doesn't really have a wife. That's just a story he tells. I don't know if you guys have noticed. There's very little mention and certainly no photographic evidence of a wife existing in Dave's little world.
Wife and kids, by the way.
I'm doing a lot of catalog shopping right now.
Someone should check the worm compost heap, I think. That's what I think. CSI should run down there and run some lumens.
Check for DNA.
And then yesterday, I couldn't believe it, but Sustainable Dave gets a link on the Drudge Report, which is one of the biggest websites in the world, and that would mean people from all over the world are checking out your nonsense.
Yeah. Did you see that? I sent it to Alex to show to you guys because I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
I'd just like to interrupt Dave and say that we are doing our part with Sustainable Day. We talk to him once a month. You don't need to email us when he's in Time Magazine Drudge Report. I'm serious.
Of all people who don't need a Sustainable Dave update, it's probably us.
Right. We're updated once a month at least, and we see all that stuff.
In fairness to everybody listening, Alex, your producer, emailed me, and I sent it back and just said, oh, by the way, they'll have fun with this. So I was actually like, you know, I don't send you stuff.
No, I'm saying I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the listeners who really want
to. Hey, look, this guy, Sustainable Dave's in Time Magazine.
Yeah, we know.
Frankly,
we've had an ass full of Sustainable Dave. Is what I'm saying.
It's true.
So what happened? What happened with the Drudge post?
There was a link on the Drudge Report, and like you know, every time I'm on K-Rock, I get some interesting emails, but they're pretty fun. But the Drudge Report, which for people who don't know it out there, is like the really right wing. I guess it's a blog, or I don't know what it is technically.
It's kind of a news,
blog, yeah, website.
Right?
It's a news blog, I guess. And they just have a link to an article somewhere else. There was an article about me, so it was on like the front page for like 6 hours or something like that.
Right.
And I got hate mail. I mean, hate mail.
Thank you.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. What? Why did they hate you?
And interestingly enough, a couple of them seemed like they were written the kind of the same tone, and they felt a little Ralphish. So I'm not sure.
Finally, America is starting to see things clearly.
Ralph, are you emailing as other people?
Ralph, your people are standing up.
Finally.
But the interesting thing is, like, so some of them were comments on the article that was written that it linked to, but a lot of them came to my email box, which means they, like, went on Drudge, they went to the article, they read the article, they went to my website from the article, they clicked on Contact Me, and then they just spilled, and it was, you know, just like, wow.
That's a lot of work to hate.
Yeah,
is it damn you for being sustainable?
They're just like literally, I can't believe you're doing this, I hope you die. I mean, and then worse than that. It was just like, wow.
But hold on.
Speaking for an entire segment of us.
Look, I don't disagree with them, Dave, but here's my question. What is it that irks them so much about whether one guy throws his trash out back or puts it in his basement? Why do they care what you're doing?
Well, let me put it this way. There's not a lot of logic tied into their argument.
Sure.
There's a little more rhetoric than logic. So, yeah, I mean, it really, I saved a bunch of them because they're classics, but it's just there's some angry, angry people out there with a lot of time on their hands, I guess. Yeah, because it's like, and a lot of them were just like, oh, this guy's one of those hoarders who they're going to find 50 years from now, which 50 years from now we may see that maybe.
I think that's true.
I'm trying this as an experiment.
Right, I know, but at the end of 12 months, you're not going to be able to stop.
No,
you know that.
You can't go back to normal.
Let me tell you something. I'm relishing the day, January.
No, you're not. Yes. Oh, Dave.
You feel famous.
Now, how am I going to prove to you that I'm stopping, though?
Well, we won't.
Put your pretend wife on the phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stop.
I'm sure we won't be talking to you, so that won't be necessary, but I'm just saying.
Dave, let me ask you one more question about the hate mail, because that really is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Was it people who were framing it as a political issue? Is that what it was?
Some of them went there. I mean, this is my personal take on it. I think the people who read the Drudge Report, read about me, said left-winger Obama.
Tree hugger?
I hate him. Yeah. You know?
Right.
And some of them went, like, political. And it's like, and of course I'm not going to email him back, but I'm like, there's nothing, I don't ever say anything political for that reason.
No.
I mean, I can see why when you read about me, you can think I'm left-wing, but then to go to hate from that, I don't know. Whatever.
You should be hated on your own merits, not because of some political issues.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you.
That's right.
I give you enough, don't I?
Yes.
Yeah. Dave, there's not going to be a book or a movie or anything like this. I mean, when you're done December 31st, you're done, right? It's going to be over.
Well, there's
yes and no answer to that.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a book!
Listen to this. There is a book, but it's not my. It's not the Dave Saban his trash story. It's the, this is how you can do better story. Like, this is the quick tips story. So it's like the self-help thing. It's not.
Let me tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to buying it and then throwing it away.
Wait a minute. It will say on the inside cover, when you're done with this, either give it to someone you love or feed it to your worms, and it will be completely compostable, because you got to stay within the realm of, you know, realm.
Sure.
And
then the movie.
The seminar, not the movie and nothing to do with
this. Did you say seminar?
The seminar that I teach the kids, which has nothing to do with this, although I mention it because people like to hear about it. It's about sustainability and living like a smarter lifestyle. We are probably turning into sort of a
movie.
It's a movie.
Oh, dear God.
In a world where a guy won't throw anything away, Greg Kinnear is sustainable dating.
Is Greg Kinnear going to...
have a wife.
Is he going to post pictures of his trash as well in the movie?
I have no idea. I haven't decided yet. But listen, when Ralph shows up for the auditions...
Yeah.
I'm going to call him you guys.
That would be the ultimate if Ralph ended up playing Sustainable Dave on the big screen version. I love it.
No, but just so you know, it's not a dramatic film, obviously. It's a light comedy romantic.
It's not a film at all, my friend.
It's a romantic comedy about a man and his worms.
A man who acts like he has a wife and kids.
Hey, by the way, just so if anybody's listening, if they want to check it out, 365daysoftrash.com.
Okay.
Or sustainabledave.org.
And by the way, I might also mention that Psycho Mike went to Sustainable Dave's house.
It wasn't so bad. He gave me the good thumbs up.
And the Sustainable Dave Cribs is on the front page of Kevin and Bean at krock.com. If you'd like to see that.
Mike, did you have a chance to talk to his wife when you were there?
You know, I didn't really see a wife or pictures of.
No
or
photos of the wife?
Female clothing or any type of.
No sign. No sign of anyone but Dave?
No.
Wow.
Well, I will say, that's if you sad. Didn't see the wife, at least you didn't see female clothing, which could mean a totally different story going on.
That's true.
You know, let's look at the positive.
You're by yourself with your worms. Just admit it.
Hey, can I throw one cool thing that I just came across?
I doubt it.
This may actually
be. You can try, but over. I'm going to bet against it being interesting.
No,
or cool.
This is actually pretty cool. I just met these people. They're with this company called Lucky Earth, and they have a waterless car wash system, which is a spray bottle, and it actually works. Like, I've seen these before. They never work.
A spray bottle of no water?
It's no water. Literally, you spray it on your car, and my car's, like, really dirty.
What do you spray on your car?
You buy the stuff, and it's all natural, and you spray it on the car, and it's this husband and wife who made this because their daughter was, like, allergic to chemicals or something. They're in Riverside, California, but this stuff is great. I mean, and you don't
story
use
just
water.
Gets worse.
It's
Dave,
good stuff.
There's, look, we've been washing our cars with water for 5,000 years. It's fine. Okay?
No, it's not.
Until you run out of water.
Until you run out of water.
We're not going to run out of water because we wash cars with water.
By the way,
Dave, why don't you marry Lisa? This way you'll have a real wife yes. and you get her the hell out of
that's
our hair.
She seems impressed by you.
Get both of you out of my hair
Ralph,
for once.
So he needs someone in his
yeah,
corner.
Exactly. Ralph, the whole thing was designed so that I could meet Lisa eventually.
All right. Well, we'll send her over.
Lovely couple.
All right. For all the happy people out there, it's drudgereport.com.
Will you stop it?
Running out of patience with you.
I got an idea. Next year, try not to promote yourself for a year and see if you can pull that off.
We'll call it Humble Dave and see if you can swing that for a year.
All right. How much I love
no, shut up. Stop. Zip. All right. We're out of time. Thank God there's only two more Sustainable Dave updates this year. Dave, thanks for joining us. SustainableDave.org if you want to check it out. Bye now.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Can't wait
bye.
For the book and the movie. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
You crazy.
Am I right? Or am I right?
Oh, you got it.
Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That's Slightly Stupid. The song is called 2 a.m. at 7:46.
It is Friday morning. That means Ralph has the movie beat. It's also Friday morning. That means we got the footballs this weekend. And our friend Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone channel is going to be joining us. That's all on the way this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. But first,
the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I don't think in all the years I've known Kevin, and I think it's more than 20 now, I don't think I've ever seen him fall more deeply or more instantly in love with any human being on earth than he did with this woman that we're about to tell you about, named Michelle Allen.
She's the best.
And you want to know how we know about her? Because of this report on the news.
Check this story out now. An Ohio woman is sentenced to 30 days for acting like a mad cow.
Ooh.
Well, police say that Michelle Allen was in a cow costume to promote Halloween. It's an exhibit in Ohio, but she got drunk, started to chase children down the street instead.
Okay, now just right there. First of all, the news anchor that adds moo sound effects. I don't know how necessary that is that the home viewer isn't familiar with the word cow, and we need some sort of gentle reminder as to which one is the cow. But I don't get that. But second of all, she's dressed up as a cow, and she's drunk, and she starts chasing children.
Well, it starts out that she was working for a theme park to try and publicize it. So imagine the theme park as she starts drinking, and she starts yelling. And and then, you know, then she just goes out of control. She's starting to scare kids, chasing them in her cow uniform.
That's probably not what they want.
Like cursing at them.
She's the best. Scare them. Listen to this.
Officers say that her erratic behavior continued when she was booked for disorderly conduct.
She got up to the court, still in her cow suit, was challenging people to sucker udders.
Well, the judge sentenced her to 30 days in jail. There you are.
All right.
Apparently, she didn't have any other clothing, so she had to wear the cow outfit for her photo.
Oh, yes.
And then she wore the cow outfit to court, and now she's wearing it in jail, and she's yelling at other people in jail in the cow outfit.
Doesn't she have friends or family who could bring her down an outfit or something? Or doesn't the jail have some sort of a jail jumper they can give her to get her out of the cow suit?
Yeah, I thought so.
Why would you do that? That's the best. How well, interesting is their job at the jail up until that point?
For starters, it's probably a rental. I doubt she owns it. She's probably just racking up huge fees the longer she keeps the suit out.
The judge said, Michelle is pretty well known to us. She's, quote, struggled, to say the least.
Oh.
So she was chasing. Can you imagine the damage it would do to your kids to see a giant black woman in a white cow suit running after your kids?
Yelling, suck my udders.
Suck my udders. Scaring them to death.
This mugshot photo, which we'll send to Dave, and he will put it up at KROQ.com because you have to see it with your own eyes. We've determined that she looks most like Lawrence Taylor in his New York Giants peak. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the celebrity she most resembles. Although, if you can picture Lawrence Taylor wearing a cow suit, I mean, you gotta factor that in.
So, hurling obscenities. She also took a leak on her neighbor's front porch. She is a delicate little flower, and thus the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Sharon Stone is going through a bitter custody battle with her ex-husband Phil Bronstein over who will get custodial rights to their son. Apparently, a court ruling has alleged that she wanted to get her 8-year-old son, Rowan, to receive Botox therapy for his sweaty, smelly feet.
Oh, no.
Apparently, she wanted to take young Rowan to a doctor to have his feet injected with Botox to paralyze the sweat glands so that his feet would not sweat and smell.
Yeah.
Sharon Stone's attorney, Martin Singer, tells Entertainment Tonight that his client never made such a ridiculous statement. He said it was a complete fabrication. Sharon loves her son and only wants the best for the little boy. Martin added she wanted Botox for his laugh lines, not for his feet. That's just ridiculous. His 8-year-old starting to look 10. She wanted to make sure he looked a little more youthful.
Can't have that.
He's got that furrowed brow. You want to soften that up. Maybe a little collagen.
Maybe a little ass fat.
A little ass fat.
Oh, there you go.
Put ass fat in his feet. That's what he needs. Wouldn't even need sneakers. He could just run on a pad of ass fat on the soles of his feet. It's hard to be an actress in Hollywood. No one knows that more so than Marissa Tomei. She is currently starring in a new Darren Aronofsky film called The Wrestler, starring Mickey Rourke. She plays in the film a pierced and tattooed stripper. Hardest part for the Oscar winner was the fake nipple piercings that she had to be outfitted with. Darren Aronofsky said in the New York Daily News, "The hardest part was fitting Marissa for fake nipple piercings. You'd be surprised how long that took."
I'm sure.
But we're happy with how it came out.
Hey, we're going to need some more help. Can 7 more people come in, please?
Yeah. How do you get the prop master job on that show every morning? Oh, yeah, I need to outfit you with your fake nipple
piercings.
Again?
The ones from yesterday won't fit?
No, we gotta measure, and I got to make sure the weight and density is correct before I fashion a new nipple piercing for you.
You know what I love about Marissa Tomei, besides the fact that she's very beautiful and a tremendous actress, she loves getting naked in her movies.
She does, yeah.
She loves it. She's been in a half a dozen movies where she's been buck naked. She's awesome.
That is awesome.
According to Mr. Skin, Marissa Tomei has been naked in 6 movies.
Oh.
So there you go. If you're a Marissa Tomei fan, hopefully you get to see some pierced nipple.
Fake.
But it'll be fake.
Suck my third nipple, bitch.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to come at a person like that. It's ridiculous. We were talking earlier about the new Jack White Alicia Keys song for the new James Bond film Quantum of Solace.
Right.
Do we have that queued up? We got a little taste of it? This has just been released. You can find the video, by the way, to it as well. It's sort of very opening James Bond kind of vibey thing going on. I saw it at stereogum.com, but it's all over the web. You can check it out. Anyway, here's a little taste of the new song from Jack White and Alicia Keys.
Another one with the golden tongue, poison in your fantasies. Another bill from a killer, turn a thriller to a tragedy. Yeah, I'm gonna open a wall and walk you back. A drop in the water, a look in the eye. A phone on the table, a man on your side. Or someone that you think that you can trust.
Alicia Keys is sexy.
She is. So is Jack White, you know?
Another Way to Die is the title of the song, which has nothing to do with the title of the movie, which is Quantum of Solace. Well, I want to thank listener Molly for cueing me into this interview about Daniel Craig, about the title. And apparently Daniel Craig was the one who picked the title.
Well, that's a bad choice.
It's a horrible choice. They asked him about it, and he said, I was involved in making the decision. Names for the movie were coming out. Some ludicrous stuff was going back and forth.
Ludicrous was involved?
I can't remember exactly, but you know, this sort of thing, the blood on your face.
The blood on your face? Those are our two options? That and Quantum of Solace?
But I knew I didn't want death, die, bleed, or any of those things in the title.
Okay.
You know why? Because Daniel Craig...
flimsy.
That's why.
Flimsy.
He said that the name of a Bond film isn't about anything. Live and Let Die? Octopussy? What does that mean? It means very little. Still, Quantum Solace blows.
It's a terrible title. Yeah. So
thank you, Daniel Craig, for the worst title in Bond movie history. Appreciate it.
It sounds like a Harry Potter movie is what it sounds like.
Yes, it absolutely does.
The video, by the way, from the song you just heard, Alicia Keys, Jack White, is at the front page of krock.com.
Oh, wow, we're quick.
In the video section of krock.com, if you want to check it out.
Wow, we are fast.
Well worth looking at.
At least Octopussy sounds sort of filthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got that going for it. Live and Let Die is like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Goldfinger. That was the dude's name. That made sense.
Right.
Dr. No.
Sure.
We'll just call this one Flimsy Thong Pants. That should be the name of this movie. Your Speedo. Fruit Loop. I wonder how Sean Connery feels about the title.
Frankly, gives me the willies.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ashley Simpson Wentz is 24 years old today.
Oh.
Sean William Scott from American Pie and Dukes of Hazzard is 32 years old. Nev, do you think he'd take Dukes of Hazzard off his resume, given the opportunity?
Yeah, at some point, probably.
I think he goes in and tries to edit IMDb every day and see if he can just pull that off.
Then they put it back up.
Nev Campbell's 35 years old today. Gwen Stefani of No Doubt is 39. Janelle Maloney of The West Wing is 39. Tommy Lee, drummer for Motley Crue, is 46. Tommy, how are you going to be celebrating your birthday today? What are you going to do?
What?
Okay, good enough. And Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy, the legendary magic act.
Roy, how are you going to be celebrating your birthday today?
I'm pulling teeth out of my neck.
He's still got some tiger shrapnel in there.
Oh,
he is a,
tiger shrapnel.
That's a name for him.
It's a great band name.
He's 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We have to talk about Chris Angel again. Not that any of us have seen his magic show in Las Vegas, but we did talk to the reporter yesterday from the Las Vegas Review-Journal who talked to fans coming out of it. And they say it's one of the worst things to ever hit the Strip, and we're fascinated by that.
Well, yeah.
We're slightly thrilled by that.
You would think that people that go see the first shows would be huge enough fans that they would buy anything. You know, like they really want it to be good, and so they would be accepting of whatever
they'd
gives them.
They make excuses for whatever wasn't good.
Right.
Yeah.
Apparently, he said he didn't have an agenda. We don't know any different. He said he was trying to find people that liked the show. We don't know whether he did or not, but he did find a lot of people that said it was, you know, not even fixable.
Yeah.
Which is a little scary.
It's not magic.
And this is a show that's a multi-year deal at the Luxor that costs tens of millions of dollars, and it's in association with Cirque du Soleil, who generally puts on first-rate productions. So it's hard to believe it could be so bad, but we thought, you know what, why don't we talk to Chris Angel himself and find out from him what's wrong with the new show. And I believe we've got him on the phone right now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are very good. Thank you.
It's great to talk to you. You guys know that I've always been a huge fan of your radio program.
Nope.
My father and I used to listen together while he was still alive, brings back
He passed away before we started.
Of my father.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
He always loved you guys.
He didn't listen to us.
Yeah. Elvis comedy and your Andy Griffith talking.
That's not
that was us. That was us. Oh, that wasn't us. That wasn't us.
Right.
Hey, Chris, these reviews have been brutal for your new Las Vegas show. What do you say?
I don't know what this guy is talking about. I had the first night we did the show, I had 109 standing ovations.
109?
Yes, and the show's only 90 minutes long, so it was like a standing ovation every half second or something.
How do you count those exactly?
With, my fingers.
Oh, I see.
The review says, Believe, which is the name of the new Chris Angel show, is a possibly unsalvageable waste of time and a dead end that literally bored some audience members to sleep.
Well, tell that to the millions of people who loved it when they were watching it, who enjoyed it.
Who are those people?
They were all there, the people at the theater. They were loving it and enjoying it. And then I told everyone afterwards, I said, stick around and I will thank you all individually for coming to the show. And I did that, and they all stayed, and I shook hands with every single one of them. And one guy came up to me, and his zipper was stuck on his pants.
Right.
And I fixed it with magic.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Hmm.
You know, you could do that.
So you don't have any concerns at all about the show as far as you're concerned? It's first rate and ready to go.
Everyone loves the show. Everyone is happy. Everyone could not be more amazed and mind-freaked by
this,
what I do.
This guy, what just happened?
This guy...
just freaked your mind.
This guy said that he didn't see the show. He only talked to the fans that were coming out of your show. And apparently he was in the restroom and they were chanting, BS, BS.
I think he was outside the wrong theater. I think he must have been at the Carrot Top show or something.
Oh, I see.
Because everyone loves me and they love my singing and they love the...
Oh, that's
the,
right, you sing in this.
Musical numbers. Of course, I do my big hit. You know this one from my Mindset show.
That's good. That's a good song, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good song.
That's not. Are you singing?
Of course I'm singing. I'm an artist. I do music. I do MMA fighting. I do magic. I'm a daredevil. I do it all.
You're not an MMA fighter.
That was just one of the songs. Of course, I had to do that because that's the big hit.
Sure.
But everyone loves the singing that I do in the show.
What kind of songs do you sing in the show?
Well, I do that when I do the theme from Mind Freak.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do a song called I'm Gonna Freak Your Mind.
Okay.
It goes like this. I'm gonna freak your mind. You will be so amazed when I freak your mind.
Wow.
Are you making up the words as you go along, Chris, or is that a song that had already been written?
No, I wrote that song especially for the new show at the Luxor, and it's just one of the many songs that I perform. And I think the...
What other songs do you perform, Chris?
Sorry, I had a little magic caught in my throat.
Really? Is that what you get?
Is that from Omar?
Hey!
Wait, Omar's with you?
Yeah. Omar and I have been working in the studio together.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Here's another song.
from Believe?
From Believe.
Yeah.
Boy!
I'm sorry. How does that go?
I can't hear it, Chris.
Maybe you need to start that again, Omar, because we're having trouble hearing him.
All right,
let's do that again.
Let's take that from the top.
All right.
Hit it, Steve. No way. It's unbelievable. You can't believe that I meant to think happen. That happened on stage. It's a mind freak. A mind freak.
Chris?
I guess we were wrong. It does sound like the show's great.
Oh, it's awesome.
That is Friday. That means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching.
One man.
who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Hey, party people. 9 new movies coming out this week.
Wow.
That's too many.
Season.
That's too freaking many. Hey, stop it.
But do we have to see them all?
No, you don't.
How many good ones?
Okay.
How many are not a Chihuahua movie?
3 good ones, 3.5 good ones.
Well, that's not bad.
Let's take a look at some of them, shall we? Opening up this weekend is An American Carol. This is a parody from David Zucker, the man who brought us the Airplane movies and the Naked Gun movies.
Right.
And then proceeded to kill the genre he invented with all those disaster movies and teen movies and horror movie spoofs.
Right.
This is a spoof on Michael Moore, where Kevin Farley, and you know it's already a good sign when they pick the less funny brother of a dead comedian to star in your movie.
No.
Kevin Farley stars as a Michael Moore-type director named Michael Malone, who is anti-American and is visited by the ghosts of famous Americans like General Patton and George Washington. And he gets his perception of the country changed and realizes that America is the best goddamn country in the world. In American Carol. See what they've done? They took
dreadful.
A Christmas Carol and they made it about the pinko commie director.
Hmm.
See?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Zucker is a conservative in Hollywood, which must be frustrating for him. And he's got a bunch of conservative friends like Kelsey Grammer and Dennis Hopper and all these guys. So they got together, all of them, to make this movie. There's sort of an FU to Michael Moore.
To Michael Moore.
Yeah. And they got Kevin Farley. And I don't know how they landed Kevin Farley. Because how do you do that? He must have been booked
for years.
Doing that Chris Farley impersonation birthday party
circuit
that he does. Anyway, here's a scene from American Carol where the Angel of Death takes Michael Malone to see the future.
And what's going on here? Where are we?
Hollywood, just like you wanted. Only now it's called Bin Laden City.
Oh my God.
We lost the war on terror. Nice work. Great bunch of movies you made for the other side. Yeah, terrorists really appreciated your work.
See,
that's what
it's
Michael Moore does is make
City.
Movies for terrorists.
Wow. It's called Bin Laden City now.
Wow, really?
By the way, the voice you hear playing the Angel of Death is country legend Trace, what's his name?
Atkins.
Trace Atkins, yeah. He also stars in the film.
Is he the one that puts his American foot up your ass?
No, it's Toby Keith, but else. Same sort of thing. So
That sounds bad.
You got your American
Carol. Movies with an agenda don't work.
I'm going from worst to best this week.
Okay, good.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua also opens this weekend.
That was a tough choice which one to put at the bottom, wasn't it?
Where do I put here? The good news is it's about a pampered Beverly Hills Chihuahua who talks, of course, and she finds herself in need of assistance when she ends up in Mexico.
No, she doesn't.
So a macho chihuahua named Poppy helps her get back to Beverly Hills. Wait, it gets better. Poppy the chihuahua is voiced by George Lopez. Doesn't George Lopez have a less funny brother they could have cast in the role of Poppy? Chloe the chihuahua is voiced by Drew Barrymore. F Psycho Mike and his chihuahuas.
Yeah, I agree.
F him. F Psycho Mike. F him. Just play the clip of Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Who is that hunky chihuahua over there? Oh,
nice. Mi corazón.
Oh, the gardener.
You are more lovely than the dawn.
Wow.
Perdóname, por favor. But my heart must speak. I only wish to say that if you ever need someone to lick inside your ears or chew the hard-to-reach places or share your slumber in the sun, I would be most honored to be that special someone.
Woof.
Mike, you're not really... I mean, you're joking because you're a chihuahua owner, but you're not really going to go see this, are you?
I can't make any promises.
You're a douche.
Kevin just hit me for real.
Psycho Mike, period.
That's what I'm saying.
Psycho Mike. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Psycho Mike.
I didn't hit you hard enough.
The clip was bad and made me want to hit you.
Gets better. Flash of Genius opens this weekend. This looks very interesting.
Looks great.
What's this?
Greg Kinnear plays an inventor named Robert Kearns, who, this is a true story, invented the intermittent windshield wiper.
Oh, the ones that pause for a little bit
right.
between?
Right, so when it's not raining too hard, you know, you can just turn it on and you can set it at different speeds.
Okay.
So that you can see your windshield clearly without, you know, going flapping back and forth. Believe it or not, those didn't used to exist. This guy invented that, got in business with Ford, showed right. him the invention. Ford said, no, thank you, we're going to pass. Then Ford takes the intermittent windshield wiper and puts it in all their cars.
Really? Is that the true story?
Effing him right out
no
of everything
kidding.
That he was due.
Wow.
And this guy would not give up and fought Ford for years over the fact that they stole his patent and his technology. This is a little man against the big system sort of story, like Tucker, Man in His Dream. Remember that with Jeff Bridges where he
yes,
played the car
yeah.
manufacturer? Greg Kinnear plays Robert Kearns in this film. Lauren Graham, Bell, please.
Oh.
Plays his wife, Alan Alda, also in the film. Looks like a killer drama comedy based on this story. Greg Kinnear, in this scene, tells his lawyer why he needs to pursue this issue and sue the Ford Motor Company.
This is about more than money. I always thought I was put here on this earth for a purpose. I thought it was to be an engineer. But that's not it, and now I know what it is.
God put you here to sue the Ford Motor Company.
Edwin Armstrong invented the FM radio. Somehow RCA ended up with a patent. He jumped out a 13-story window. This was a good man. And look, I have letters from people. People who've had their ideas taken from them. They've heard about us. They're in their backyards and their garages, and they're counting on me.
I love Greg Kinnear.
I do, too.
I do, too. Looks fantastic, this movie.
Yeah.
Blindness. By the way, I'm sorry. You just can't sue a company like Ford and win, though, can you? I mean, I guess that's what you're up against if you're suing somebody with unlimited time and unlimited money. That's what makes it so frustrating and so compelling.
Blindness opens this weekend. We just talked earlier in the show to Mark Ruffalo. Mike's his lesser talented brother, who's also in this movie, apparently. Yeah, looks terrific. It's about blindness, as you can imagine by the title.
Sure.
That sweeps through a city. It's an epidemic, sudden blindness, and one woman, played by Julianne Moore, remains able to see, and she is able to rally the blind around her and rise up against the government that has put them all in basically concentration camps. Here is a scene from Blindness, where one of the wards where these blind people are being kept decide to take over the food supply.
War 3 is going to take charge of the food right now. Like in a store. Now go back to your wards and get your money ready, okay?
You know we don't have any money.
Well, then whatever you got, lady. Understood? Oh, lady, I'll never forget your voice.
And I won't forget your face.
See, because she can still see.
Oh.
She is the person who can see in the kingdom of the blind.
No, she isn't.
Yes. Society, as you can tell, disintegrates as these people start to war against each other. So it is a feel-good movie, I think.
Sure.
It's probably a good time. Good matinee. How to Lose Friends and Alienate People opens today. Simon Pegg. How funny is he?
He's great and everything.
The best.
Kirsten Dunst, also in this film. Megan Fox. Simon Pegg plays a journalist who gets a job, leaves England, and comes to work in New York and Los Angeles working with celebrities and what happens to him and how he is changed by the experience. It looks very, very funny. Here's Simon Pegg playing a journalist who's asking perhaps inappropriate questions in his interview.
I like the hamster thing that you play.
Actually, he's a chipmunk.
Yeah. The hamster thing that you play in the film.
It's a chipmunk.
Whatever.
Is that gay? It's a chipmunk.
I know, yeah, but is it a gay chipmunk?
It's a kid's cartoon. It's just a chipmunk, okay? I don't think chipmunks can be gay.
So it's straight. It's a straight chipmunk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, got that. Now, are you gay?
I can't wait to see this. Simon Pegg makes me laugh. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist opens this weekend. This looks great. Michael Cera, Kat Dennings. It's one of those Night in the City movies where everything that could go wrong does go wrong to Michael Cera and his friends. It looks very entertaining. Michael Cera, just a big movie star now since Juno.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Juno.
However, we have been talking about the fact that he might have to play some other character other than sort of the nerdy, insecure, artsy, wannabe lover.
He plays that well.
He does. He's been playing it since Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for him to stretch a little bit, but we'll accept one more of those kind of roles with Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. Here, Nick accuses Nora of being jealous of his previous girlfriend.
I don't know what I did to you to make you so angry.
Nothing. You're ridiculous.
No, you don't even know me.
I know you. I know your make.
My make?
You're an emo punk band boy and you're obsessed with Triss. They can make action figures out of you, drummer not included.
You know, it's funny that Triss never mentioned you considering what good friends you are, but she did mention something that was completely jealous.
Oh, jealous?
Yeah, and
oh,
so
really?
Now I think I know exactly who she... All right, sweetheart, you think you have something to...
I am not jealous!
Oh, no, man, she's not jealous.
It's very entertaining. I love those One Night in the City kind of films. So looks like there's a lot to go on. So those are your choices this weekend. There's a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
Nick and Nora looks fun. How to Lose Friends and Alienate People looks very funny. Blindness looks like it's just a bummer of infinite proportions, but very interesting. Flash of Genius, inspiring Greg Kinnear movie. Then you got Beverly Hills Chihuahua and An American Carol. That's what they're playing in hell right now, too. I think the theater's down in hell. So
I think the Bill Maher movie is out now, too, by the way, which also looks fantastic.
Religious, yes, also opening this weekend. A documentary about Bill Maher taking on the world's different religions. So that's an option, too. A lot to do this weekend.
Yep.
Go see a movie. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Okay, how about that? I got to put the microphone in so that it works like that. I see. I'm sorry. I didn't turn myself on.
Take two.
It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ and time for the Afro line. 323-520-AFRO.
What are the kids calling about today?
Ah, try it again.
Psycho Mike. What's going on down there?
We have a guy that we work with named Psycho Mike.
Take two.
Girl, what's the matter? You're serving poo-poo platter. When I see your pants are white, everything will be okay, all right?
All right. A little mixture there. This guy has gotten popular.
Been saying that my whole...
Honestly.
What the hell, you guys?
Will you look up there and push the right buttons? Look up there and push the right buttons, goddammit.
All right.
That's three times!
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
F*** that guy who says f*** everything. I've been saying that my whole life, and I'll say it till the day I die. F*** that guy.
All right.
It was worth it.
I gotta tell you, I went to the midget rodeo.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. You loved it.
It was awesome. They have midget bullfighting. They had little four-wheel drives that were like on fire. It was the best time of my life.
Oh, yeah. It's that time, Kevin and Bean, for the midget rodeo this weekend at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena.
Not a good sell, but it's a good time. I'll tell you that right now. A week or two ago, we had on the dude with the black light to go through the studio here and tell us where the stains were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa's chair, which is shared by other people at the station.
Thank you.
To be fair.
Including Jed.
Was a mess.
Hey, I was wondering, maybe it wasn't Lisa who left all those stains on her chair that were there. Maybe it was Leika. Get it? Leika. See what I did there?
Put the leak in Leika. I got it, yeah.
How does he do it?
Wow.
Hey, I just heard Lionel Richie at the radio. So I'm wondering if he's going to get more Richie.
I don't know what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about, Bean?
No, I sure don't.
Is it possible he's talking about your former DJ tape where you were talking about Lionel Richie?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's
I wouldn't have any memory of that at all.
Maybe he was talking about Flash Phillips.
95 PGC. At 432-9595, all conversations on the air, of course, are strictly confidential. That's one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his...
All right, there you go. That's me. That is so beautiful.
Hello,
there,
totally.
Gay thing to go to happen. Beans gay.
Not everyone can or should sing.
True.
However, Dodger fans are in the mood.
The Dodgers, they are my teams. The Dodgers, they live in my dreams.
This guy goes on, by the way, for a couple minutes. We did have to edit him down.
I know they're going to win the World Series.
All right, good. Thank you for that.
There may have been some alcohol consumption before he called the Afro line. Hey, we haven't talked about this yet, Mike, but was there an incident in the game last night where one of the fans in the stands threw a ball, a home run ball, back at Manny Ramirez, tried to hit him?
In game one,
that happened, right? And they arrested the guy, right?
I don't know what happened to the dude, but he without hesitation, threw it back on the field.
And threw it back hard, like not just tossed it out into the field. He basically tried to beam Manny with it.
He whipped it out.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do if the opposing team hits a home run and you catch it. You're supposed to throw it back on the field. You're not supposed to rifle it at the player, necessarily. This guy also excited. Impressive, right?
Yeah.
Well done. Lisa, think what he can do to you. That kind of breath control.
And finally.
The Cubs. The Cubs pitching.
Clearly, well some done. Fans coming home from the game. Well done. 323-520-AFR. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K Rock 106.7. That's over. Ralph.
Oh, sorry. Got caught up.
I believe that's over.
I got so caught up by that song, man. I just start banging my head, you know?
Sometimes you have to.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes that's the response that you get. It's 8:54, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat brought to you by the LA Kings. Don't miss the Kings home opener Sunday, October 12th at Staples Center. Catch all the action as the Kings take on the San Jose Sharks. Visit LAKings.com to get tickets now.
Go Kings!
There's Ralph.
Wow, big time when you get a sponsor, dude. Yeah, they must like you.
How about me now? I still have my Kings bobblehead up on my shelf. Mm-hmm. I play with it all the time.
Oh. Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
Mine fell right off the counter and broke.
Well, all typical.
It's, yep.
Even your bobblehead is clumsy and accident prone.
My bobblehead got hurt.
Yep. Here's the thing you may not know about me. I like boobies.
Oh, really?
Yes. Hmm. And so there, by extrapolation, you could probably make the assumption that I am against breast cancer.
That's correct,
sure.
Yes.
I don't like anything that attacks the boobie. So I wanted to give you a heads up about a very cool event that's happening next week, October the 13th. It's called Bowling for Boobies. It is a fundraiser to battle breast cancer. And the cool thing about this organization that runs it is that they raise money to help local women in the Southern California area who are experiencing financial challenges as a result of their fight with breast cancer.
Oh, that's cool.
So it helps them raise money for their living expenses, for their medical expenses, and the money goes directly to local women here in the Southern California area. It's a very cool event. It's a bowling event happening at the Lucky Strike Lanes, which is down there at Hollywood and Highland. Mm-hmm. Very cool place to bowl. It is happening, as I mentioned, October the 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. For more information, you can go to bowlingforboobies.com.
That's serious rack.
If you'd like to participate or donate, you certainly can. And the cool thing is, Holly Madison is this year's celebrity spokesperson. You may know her as Hef's girlfriend from The Girl Next Door.
Right.
Sure. And I may be the Philly in me, maybe the East Coast boy in me. I love watching hot chicks bowl. That's one of my sexiest.
I've never considered that.
I've ever seen.
I've never considered that.
To watch like a playmate bowl is just.
I guess, but it falls into the.
Talk about setting your pins. That's what would happen in my pants.
Doesn't it fall into watching a playmate do anything?
Yeah, but something about bowling.
No.
Bending over and just. They look, sometimes they look all goofy and like not, you know.
Giant balls.
Not the least bit athletic or anything. You know, they're all sort of goofy. And they
could just be a lot of hot. A lot of hot chicks there is what it sounds like.
Yeah, but if you want to bowl with Holly Madison, you can go on eBay, and the high bidder gets to bowl with her on her team.
And the money goes to this charity.
And the money goes to charity.
Fantastic.
So you go on eBay, and you can type in Holly Madison breast cancer or Holly Madison bowl, and you will see the auctioneer. The auction ends on Monday, so if you want to bid on that, you can do so over the weekend. So
I'm no meteorologist, but I'm pretty sure it's raining bitches.
I just wanted to give that event a shout-out because it sounds like a lot of fun, and it makes me excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get him in.
We were talking about the new Jack White, Alicia Keys video that we found today for the new James Bond theme song, Another Way to Die, which will be the theme for Quantum of Solace, which opens up on November the 14th.
Couldn't rhyme those words?
No. Solace is hard to rhyme. Like we said, it's either Telly Savalas or Mike Wallace.
That's it.
That's all you got.
Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez.
That's about it.
We put the video up on krock.com.
Yes, front page.
Lightning told me where, and I do not know. I think it's
video section.
Video section.
No, waste your day.
Waste your day.
There is a section.
There's
like
a
waste
that.
Your day section, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where it is. That's where you need to know. On the front page of krock.com.
I like that we move everything around so nobody can really count on anything.
It's
That's
like
good.
Where's Waldo, only with content.
You have to look. Sorry, people.
And they rename every category once a week. So even if you think you know, like you would think it would be under the video section, well, that's 4 weeks ago. Now it's called Waste Your Day. So it's almost impossible to find anything.
Waste Your Day with K-Rock. You will find the Jack White, Alicia Keys video for Another Way to Die there in the Waste Your Day with K-Rock section on the front page. That's where you can find
some
it.
Live Foo Fighters music and a bunch of other stuff there. So
anyway, I wanted to give you a little taste in case you're curious what the new Jack White song sounds like. Here is Jack White and Alicia Keys in their duet, their collaboration for the new James Bond theme, Another Way to Die.
Another ringer with a slick trigger finger for her majesty. Another one with the golden tongue poison in your fantasy. Another pill from a killer turn a thriller to a tragedy. Yeah, I don't know. A woman walking by, a jump in the water, a look in the eye, a poem on the table, a man on your side, or someone that you think that you can trust. It's just another way to die.
Oh,
sounds pretty good.
Sounds great. I would love to see Alicia Keys bowl. Just listening to that song makes me want to bowl with her. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. It's time to face the hole.
Or the bowl, in my case.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be a league bowler.
Yep.
I did when I was a kid. I used to be.
You and former league. Sports guy Dean Sheffrin.
Well, he was a current league bowler. I surrendered my league bowling days back in my teens.
Smart.
Once I discovered women, mm-hmm. I was not so much interested in bowling anymore.
Yeah.
Ruff, were you involved in any hobbies or interests or clubs or activities that weren't geeky before the age of 20? Because every time you have a story from those years, it's always something you now are trying to distance yourself from.
I don't remember you rocking out on the drum kit when you were a member of Revolver, writing original
true.
Songs.
That's true. You played a rock band. Okay.
Just having to beat off the groupies with a stick.
Whoa!
You say that, Ralph?
Beat them off with a stick. It's a very popular phrase.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So how about me behind the kit, rocking and rolling?
All right, on your way to a Justices of America League meeting. All right.
That's right.
Ralph Bannon.
Never waste your time on a young rock and roller. You're so incredibly cool. It never dawned on you that I never modeled
I like it. I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
I got in the wrong business, man.
Yes, you gotta get the band back together, dude.
You guys should be playing Revolver instead of me sitting here talking about Jimmy Smith killing some dude on TV. Jimmy Smith's killed a dude on TV.
I don't think that happened.
Got probation.
Because, did he die?
No,
did the dude die?
Didn't. Scary story, though, from the set of Dexter. Jimmy Smith's new cast member for this season was filming a scene with a stuntman, and instead of picking up a prop knife, picked up a real knife and plunged it into stuntman Jeff Chase's chest.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Jeff Chase recounts the story. For the scene, I was bound in saran wrap with duct tape over my mouth. I couldn't say a thing as I saw Jimmy grab at the wrong knife. He picked up the real one by pure mistake, but it was a mean-looking knife. I heard fellow actor Michael C. Hall yelling at Jimmy to stop, but it was too late.
He's the guy that plays Dexter, the lead.
Yeah. I felt the thud in my chest. Luckily, Jeff had a small, clear, acrylic plastic breastplate over his chest, and it was about a quarter of an inch thick, and Jimmy just nicked the side of that breastplate, and it deflected the blade, so it didn't go into his chest.
That could have been a terrible tragedy. Yeah. It sounds like it's very close to having... I mean, you could really kill somebody by stabbing him in the chest with a knife.
Jeff Chase says, 8 out of 10 takes with the prop knife, Jimmy had missed the plastic breastplate. When they were rehearsing and
him
shooting previous takes.
Wow.
He said he kept missing the plastic breastplate with the fake knife.
Hey, how about bringing in someone else then that can do it? How about bringing in a stuntman?
But that was with the prop knife, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But the real knife, he luckily did hit the breastplate, so it all turned out for the best. But can you imagine being surrounded, wrapped in saran wrap with duct tape on your mouth? You see it.
Nope.
And you can't do anything about it because you're immobilized.
That's a nightmare.
It's like a saw.
Yeah.
It's a complete freaking nightmare.
I really need to kill somebody.
Yeah, I know how you feel. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ashley Simpson Wentz.
Oh!
I really need to kill somebody.
He's 24 years old today. Sean William Scott turns 32. Nev Campbell.
Ooh.
Lovely Nev Campbell is 35 years old. Gwen Stefani turns 39. Janelle Maloney from The West Wing is 39. Tommy Lee from Motley Crue turns 46. And Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy, otherwise known as Montecore's Dinner. That's another good band name right there.
Oh, that is good.
Dinner.
Yeah.
Montecore's Dinner. He is 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz big.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
At the end of the day, you should have just not gone to dinner like we told you.
I found out from my mom because you lied to the homies.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
Did you see that episode? That was crazy.
Stop it.
When that happened.
That's a show that's on TV, you guys.
That was crazy.
It's the Kevin Beach Show at K-Rock. Our friend Andrew Siciliano has joined us in the studio from the Red Zone DirecTV channel. You love coming on After the Hills, Andrew. It makes you feel good.
Thanks for playing my favorite show, guys.
You love that show, don't you?
Oh, they've gone full retard. I don't know how anybody can watch that show for more than 5 minutes without the brains melting out of their ears.
I think the laughing at the absurdity of
aren't
it.
Aren't we over
I can
that,
understand.
Though?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm the
but
guy
this
that,
is spectacular.
If you stop on the side of the road to see a car wreck, you should get the ticket. There should be a cop in the other lane writing a ticket for you.
I agree.
Thank you.
But I agree.
Without that, or with that actually put into place, nobody would have a job in television.
Okay, but
I never get tired of watching Lauren's eye makeup run, though. That cracks me up every single time she's talking to Audrina and crying and ending up like a raccoon.
Let me pitch you, Andrew, to a new idea for the offseason, DirecTV's Reality Red Zone channel, where you have like 50 screens and you watch reality television. Okay,
like
Lauren Conrad's coming up. Let's go to Lauren Conrad now over there in the hills. And you go to her, and then you go back and forth. And you
when we left, what's your name, Paris Hilton's BFF.
I like it. Right. I like it.
Doesn't something happen?
They're about to vote over in Survivor. Let's go to we'll take it to Survivor
and
right now.
And we can split screen.
Exactly.
I think it's good. I actually had that idea, no joke, a couple of years ago off the air.
Oh, sure.
But for the adult channels in the 590. Oh, that was my idea.
That's great.
One big screen. I don't know if I'd want to necessarily take my career there as the host.
And I wouldn't want to see you there.
Exactly.
Right.
And maybe I should probably only be heard and never seen. But I thought about it.
Or produce it and have someone else host it.
Take the credit, exactly.
Yeah, I think it would work.
The Wet Zone Channel. I like it. That's great. Andrew, of course, we're going to talk about the big NFL weekend ahead, but I have to ask, knowing you're a sports fan, are you also following with interest the Dodgers and the Angels this week?
I am. And actually, the Dodger game last night, I have special interest. I lived in Chicago for 4 years. I live two blocks away from Wrigley. So I think I understand what's going on in Cub fan head. You guys don't understand Cubs fans' heads.
No,
thank you.
I'm
Andy
sorry. I thought you were
savings.
Hosting that adult
no,
channel.
No,
that's a special type of.
Already back on that.
Wait, stop. When Greg Maddux came in and got the last three outs in game one on Wednesday, that was basically every nightmare that the Cubs fans had in the 80s and the 90s when the Trib wouldn't spend money, and Maddux has always been the one that got away. When he came back in, got the last three outs, they realized that their march towards a coronation this year, their destiny, their 100 years, we're reclaiming the World Series, it hit them right in the face.
Yeah.
And you saw the looks on their faces sitting there.
Yeah.
And eventually, it catches up with the players. Every single Cub team that's ever come through Wrigley, they all sit there, and the managers as well, they deny it. They say,
of course.
We're not part of the jinx. We're not part of the curse.
There's no curse.
Come on. We're all successful. We all came here. We've all had careers. But once it finally creeps in, there's always that one moment where they begin to realize, you know what, we're Cubs and we're at Wrigley.
So you think that negativity soaks into the players'
absolutely.
Minds?
I've covered it.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely. And to get away from that place, even though it is the greatest baseball cathedral in America.
Which is good if you want to see crappy baseball.
Sure, exactly. To get away from that place and to come here, I think actually does them well.
Okay. So you think they're going to do better here?
They'll win at least one game. I don't think it's going five, though. I think the Dodgers take it in four.
We had conversations early this morning with Cubs fans, and we're starting to hear from people that there's almost a sense of relief among some fans that the misery is going to be over soon rather than later. We compared it earlier today to the unbelievably hot chick who would do you a favor if she would just tell you straight up she's never going to have sex with you so that you don't keep hoping and thinking about it.
Cubs fans know they'll never win.
Right.
Deep down inside, they know that it's always a joke, and eventually somebody will pull back the curtain and let them know.
It's a cruel joke on
that
them.
It's a joke.
The question is, comes out and tells them they've
bingo,
been punked.
Bingo, but please, something better.
Wow.
They know eventually they're going to get smacked in the face, and they have officially been smacked in the face.
Can we stop tainting football talk with baseball?
Sure.
Is there any choice we can do that?
Let's talk
please?
Football.
Andrew, of course, is the host of the Red Zone DirecTV channel, which is basically a way to watch one channel and keep up with every game that's being played at the same time.
Exactly. By the way, thank you so much for my Philadelphia Eagles remote that DirecTV
like
sent
that.
Over. Yeah, that was very impressive.
They glow in the dark, too.
Wow.
They sent us all one. I think Kevin got a Cardinals one, right?
I did. The only thing that I noticed about your show, though, is that you can still be seen behind those remotes, barely.
Sometimes.
Barely.
I'm sitting on
three
phone
books. Because you're not very
tall. No. I actually got an email this week. Someone
the
saying...
The remotes are right in front of you.
My husband and I are having a fight. How tall are you? Could you settle the bet, please?
Yeah.
I responded 6'9".
Yeah, which, of course, is...
Bean got a Seahawks remote, good. Which, of course, doesn't work.
No.
It does. That doesn't work very well
of course.
At all. Yeah.
Like the team.
Well, most of the buttons are hurt.
Yeah.
But they're back this week. You get Deion Branch and Bobby Engram back this week.
Yes, and that's great news. And Deion Branch looked great in practice this week. But they're also playing the Giants, so it's not like it's an easy welcome back from the bye week.
Giants are 3-0, right?
They're 3-0, and they're going to go to 4-0.
They are. They're going to beat Seattle. Right,
well, okay. I mean, don't take it to the bank. We don't recommend gambling here.
No.
Of course not. No,
no,
ever.
No.
Ever, ever, ever. And if the Cowboys lose to the Bengals, every single suicide pool in America will shut down next week.
What do you think of the other unbeaten teams? You got Tennessee and you've got Buffalo. Are they going to stay unbeaten this week?
I like Tennessee because they have the best defense in the NFL. They have allowed the fewest points of any team that's played a full schedule this year. Baltimore looks good.
Wow.
They have a rookie quarterback. John Harbaugh looks fantastic as a new head coach, but they're not that good.
I didn't know Buffalo was still in the NFL.
They are.
Are they?
In a big way.
I thought they joined the Canadian League or something.
They're fantastic. I think they both go to 5-0, to be honest with you. Buffalo goes to Arizona. They play the Cardinals.
How dare you talk about my Cardinals that way.
Kurt Warner turned the ball over 7 times.
Okay.
On his own last week.
So there was that.
But he does. I don't know if you saw it. He, the night before every game, goes to a restaurant. True story.
Didn't see this.
Picks out a family and pays for their meal randomly.
Really?
Yeah, that's his new deal.
Instead of practicing football?
Instead of practicing football.
I would rather he were looking at some X and O's.
He drops a football and then drops the ball.
But we have that reliable backup quarterback.
So exactly. Matt Leiner, because he's good at football.
Yeah.
But in the Cardinals' defense, didn't they only give up 56 points last week?
They only gave up 56, and
but
it could
have
been
60. But they scored like 36 or something. I mean, they scored a lot. That was a ridiculous
not
game.
Enough,
I
turns
know,
out.
Not
but the
same,
fact that the Jets kept going for two.
No, well, punishing.
They kept going for two. They could have dropped 60 on them. And Brett Favre didn't throw a touchdown in the first or the third quarters. They all came in the second and the fourth, which means nothing.
Yeah, that's odd that you would bring that up.
Absolutely useless.
Why would you even bring that up?
I don't, because I'm a fountain of useless information.
All right, we need to take a break. We're going to slap Andrew around. And then we'll come back and talk some more NFL.
Ralph's boyfriend, Andrew Siciliano, is in the K-Rock studio this morning from the Red Zone DirecTV channel, which, by the way, you should get at DirecTV.com or call 888-777-2454. And you guys are doing something else. We should get the business out of the way here, Andrew. You're doing something else for fans like you who love a team that isn't anywhere near where you live, right?
And fans like Ralph as well, an Eagles fan here in L.A. It's called the Ultimate Displaced Fan Contest, and it's also easy, DirecTV.com/NFL. But if you're the ultimate displaced fan and you can prove it with a video or a letter or an email or get naked, whatever you want to do, you can win a trip to the Super Bowl, go down to Tampa, hang out with a favorite player, hang out, I believe, with Eli. But you go to the game, you do the media tour, you kiss babies, you do all that. You probably make it rain at a party somewhere standing on a table. If you are the ultimate displaced fan, meaning a fan from another city who now has to live here, for example, like L.A., where we don't have a team, but
and
we have rare fans everywhere.
We call hanging with Eli something very different here.
Speaking of the Raiders,
yes,
I'm sure you
Raiders.
Loved... as we did the Al Davis press conference this week, the Crypt Keeper who came out there with his overhead projector and talked about how he's fired yet another coach. Is
he's
there any salvation? Any salvation for that team as long as that old man's still alive?
Everywhere I go this week is, dude, what's up with the Raiders, man? It's like, when are they going to win? When's the old man going to die?
Yeah, everybody's just waiting for him to pass on, but I heard his son is even worse. Did you say that, Ralph? Somebody?
I'm not he has a son in his 40s who's doing fine.
Okay.
He did note after the press conference that his mother lived to 103.
Wow.
Oh, that's
so don't count on it anytime
poor
soon.
Poor Raiders fan.
Does he not have that that Sports Club LA, I'm old and I had plastic surgery, thus my face looks like it's covered with Vaseline look to him.
Look, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It does look waxy.
He actually won some people over, I think.
No way.
No, hear me out for a second.
He did?
I think he actually came across as a semi-sympathetic figure. However, if you know the story, and if you know that he's done this to every other coach that's gone through there for the last 15 years, and if you understand that he didn't fire him during the summer, he, in essence, sabotaged the season by waiting to get a paper trail to save a couple million bucks, then you realize he's out of touch.
That way he said it was for cause, right?
Right.
He could say that.
Exactly.
He was just letting him go so he doesn't have to pay him.
So he can claim he doesn't
have to pay him. He did it with Shanahan, right? And there was another guy.
He still owes Mike Shanahan $250,000. And Shanahan said, all you have to do, he's the coach of the Broncos now, all you have to do is give the money to the Oakland School District. I don't want it anymore. I'm done. Just donate it somewhere. And he said no.
Right. Let me ask you this question, and forgive my naivete, but I don't follow this as closely as you do. The interfering that Davis does with every single coach, is it at all helpful or useful, or does it do nothing but screw with whatever the coach is trying to accomplish on the field?
He is very unique in that he used to be a coach. He's probably, let me try to think, he's probably the only owner in the NFL of the 32 teams that actually used to be a coach. So he does know what he's talking about. But like Warren Sapp said a couple of days ago, he knows what he's talking about from the 60s and the 70s.
That's what it seems like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And if you hire somebody for that much money to run a team, get out of the stinking way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't.
He's a bad owner, and that's a shame.
Period.
For all the Raiders fans, I'm sure they hope he dies soon. That's when they can turn it around.
Andrew, let's talk San Diego and Miami. Now, Miami, of course, with the huge upset over the Cowboys facing San Diego. I mean, is that it? Are they one and done, or are they going to make a battle out of this week's game?
Remember how last week or 2 weeks ago they came out with that wacky college Arkansas offense, and Ronnie Brown had 5 touchdowns. He threw one of the Patriots, couldn't stop it.
Right.
That's been on tape for 2 weeks now. There is no way the Chargers are going to get fooled. That doesn't mean it doesn't work a little bit. But there's no way the Chargers are going to be fooled. I think it's actually a close game, but I can't see San Diego losing. I can't see them losing. Not on the road there like that.
Were you so pleased to see T.O. complaining he wasn't getting enough touches after last week's game? It was great to have him back, wasn't it?
Isn't that like a bad reality show? That's what I wanted to see on Hard Knocks all summer on HBO.
Yeah,
but we never
off.
Got it.
No.
Either that or Jessica taking her top off, and that didn't happen either.
Do you think they like that in Dallas? Do you think they like being in the headlines all the time?
Jerry Jones loves it. He loves it.
Like, he would love this. I mean, how many times did he touch the ball last week?
19? He touched it, or they gave it. They put it in his direction between 18 and 20 times.
Okay, how many times does he expect them to put it?
He's
it
was
the
like
guy,
a third of the pass plays.
He's
went
a
to him.
5-year-old. By the way, he's on my radio show next week on Tuesday. I'm glad he.
Oh, fantastic!
Right, he's a 5-year-old. All right,
okay.
He's the kid who, if he doesn't get his way, is going to throw a fit. And they're not going to go 15-1. All right, they're not the Patriots. They will lose a couple more games if he does this every time. They can't win. They threw him the stinking football. Marion Barber only got 8 carries. Did you hear Marion Barber complaining?
Yeah.
No. Marion Barber didn't complain. Jason Witten didn't get the ball enough. Patrick Creighton didn't get the ball enough.
Not very many people are T.O., that's the thing.
No, he's a crybaby.
Yes, he is.
He's a 5-year-old.
Speaking of the NFC Beast, best division in professional football, Washington, Philadelphia this week. Is it too early to say this is a must-win game for the Philadelphia Eagles?
I think it's a must-win game for both teams. As odd as it sounds, because it is
Washington's
the best division
one,
in football.
They're 3-1. We're 2-2.
It's the best division of football. They're going to get wins somewhere, but they also have all these ridiculous division games. You need to win every possible one, because at the end of the year, whether it be for a wild card or for the division, it's going to come down to a tiebreaker. They need to win their division games. Did you know that Brian Westbrook had a brother?
Yeah.
Byron.
Byron Westbrook.
How did I not
Byron?
Know that?
Yeah. Really?
He has a brother.
He's a
corner for the
He's a player?
For the Redskins.
No kidding.
I found that out
against
yesterday.
Brother this weekend.
I had no
against
idea.
His brother.
Yeah.
Ralph can do this segment.
How about that?
Ralph
can do the
clue.
Segment on the Philadelphia Eagles, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He's a hardcore
I'm very
fan.
Very scared.
So that's a toss-up, that game?
Because Jason Campbell's playing great ball now.
I like the Eagles. I cannot see them losing to the Bears and the Redskins back-to-back like that. I cannot see it happening. The Redskins, remember, the Redskins are coming off their win of the year. They're doing celebrations. Jim Zorn's doing this rah-rah-ray, whatever it is, college junk. The Eagles have to win that game. The Eagles are going to win that game.
A lot of people are saying they against the Cowboys, they sort of lost it. You know, they blew it out and... It's going to be some sort of letdown for them this
week.
Well,
what do you think?
I hope so. I hope that's the case. But I'm thinking Campbell in the past couple of games has looked like a world beater.
He hasn't turned the ball over. The Eagles make him turn the ball over.
All right.
Have faith.
I want to.
Young Jedi.
I'm just a scared. I'm a scared. That's all.
Andrew Siciliano with the Red Zone Direct TV channel. It's in high def, and he will just show you pretty much every game that gets into the red zone. He'll just flip it around so that you can just watch all the games at the same time.
It's the best way to watch football.
It is.
And by the next time we see you, Andrew, and I hope it's very soon, I want you to get that idea of the porn of the Wet Zone channel. I want you to get that up and running. If you're not going to host it, find somebody else to do it, but let's make that show happen.
Hand it off to a playmate to host, though.
Do you there guys want to do it?
Yes.
Host it? No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
No,
why not?
I would like to be able to maintain an erection while I'm watching
it. That would be
it.
Less of a turn on than Bean and I hosting that channel.
That would be physically impossible with Kevin and Bean hosting.
Yeah. You're barking up the wrong tree there.
Yeah. I'm going to stay away.
Call Megan Fox agent. See if she's available.
Isn't she in that movie this weekend?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, she is.
Isn't she like in a wet shirt coming out of the water
or
something?
She walks through a pool. That does happen.
Yeah.
She's the best human on earth.
She might be. Those tats scare me, though.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Kevin likes him dirty.
She burns right through him. Yeah. That's what I think.
On that
Andrew,
note.
Great to see you, man. Have a great weekend.
Likewise, guys.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do is you call us at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Be entertaining. Win a pair of tickets to join our own Psycho Mike for the private K-Rock backlot tour of Universal Studios Hollywood. It's Halloween Horror Nights. That'll be October the 10th.
All right. Let's begin with Charles, who is calling from West Covina. Good morning, Charles.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do?
I had a story. I remember that story that they did on the news about that guy that took a bath in the Burger King restaurant sink.
I didn't hear that news, but that's disturbing.
Well, he did, and it was all over the news, and he ended up getting fired and apologized to the media. But
he's trying to be clean. Why are they firing him? The guy's trying to stay clean.
I don't think you want a guy taking a bath in your sink.
He didn't do it in the fryer.
It says right there on the wall, your employees must wash hands before they return to work, so he just went a little extra step. That's all.
He's extra clean.
So he got fired.
Well, there's another video online of a kid that did a high school project comparing the ice water to the toilet water at the Burger King restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he found that there was 80% more bacteria in the ice water in the restaurant than the toilet water.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe.
Well, I think we should boycott Burger King either way.
Nope.
Sorry. Too good.
No, we love the king. I'm sorry, man. Can't do it.
Apologize. That would be great. Let's go to Angel in Roland Heights. Good morning, Angel. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Angel?
What's going on?
I was wondering if you guys noticed that the last two games, Joe Torre, he passes out during the baseball games. I've been noticing.
I'm sorry, he passes out?
Yeah, he's
been
putting the camera.
Does he fall asleep?
Yeah, he falls asleep.
He doesn't fall asleep. He's not asleep.
He's passed. His eyes are closed.
His eyes are closed. I've never seen that. He is a notoriously low-key guy, though. Joe Torre. I mean, he really is a guy who's just super mellow during games.
But isn't
maybe
asleep, isn't that too mellow?
Is that too mellow?
He's not sleeping. He's drunk.
Mike, what do you think? You've watched more Dodger games than I have. I mean, Joe Torre is just a mellow dude, right?
He's KO'd from being so physically fatigued from being around Tommy Lasorda all day. He's just like, oh, God, I can't take it any longer.
He's just praying for sweet death so Tommy won't try to talk to him about buying a muffler.
God, Tommy, make sure your car is operating the way it should be. You need a check engine light? You don't even need a transmission.
All right, Tommy. Let's go to Steve in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to see if I can get Psycho Mike's take on the fight with Kimbo Slice versus Ken Shamrock this weekend. I got a little bet going. You know, wanted to see what his strategy, if Mike has, you know, any feelings on that. Ken Shamrock, what, is he 44 years old?
Yes.
Is an amazing beast. He's like a silverback. He's going to tear his arms off.
No, Kimbo Slice is a maniac, and he's very dangerous. But if Ken Shamrock gets it to the ground for 1 second, the fight is over.
He's not going to get it to the ground.
You cannot learn in any short amount of time. It takes years and years and years and years of grappling, training, and jiu-jitsu to be able to fight Ken Shamrock on the ground after all the experience that he has. And Kimbo Slice has hardly any.
So you're saying it's a money-back guarantee from you?
No. Unless Kimbo Slice punches him in the face.
Shamrock's going to spend some time on the ground, but he will be by himself after Kimbo knocks him out.
Basically, basically what you're saying is it's youth versus experience. Experience definitely wins in this.
It looks like, unless he catches him. That's what everybody's saying.
I mean, if Kimbo Slice blasts your face open, there's nothing you can do, Ken Shamrock or not. But I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that Ken Shamrock will wrestle him to the ground and submit him.
You're offering a money-back guarantee.
Yes.
You're okay. Wrong. Yes. Right. Would you like to wager?
Yes.
All right. We'll
betting's
talk about
wrong,
it later.
But right. Theoretically.
We don't bet
theoretic
here.
Betting.
Right.
Credits.
I was mocked in this same room, Ralph, yesterday for suggesting that I thought Kimbo was going to win it as well, and the guys were mocking me for that. But yeah.
Well,
I just...
It's you.
Okay, yeah. All right.
That's true.
There is that.
You
hey, let's talk to Steve in Mission Viejo. He's on line one. Of course, Governor Palin last night impressed a lot of people with her performance in the vice presidential debate. Steve, you're calling about Sarah Palin?
Yes. What it do, nephew?
What it do, Steve?
Lisa, may I?
Maybe.
I was watching the debate last night, and I didn't know that Sarah Palin was related to Davy Crockett.
And... okay,
what is,
why?
You know, that's her hair. That's not a coonskin cap she's wearing.
She
wears her hat up. Who wears her hair up?
Why did that come out in the debate? I didn't hear that.
I was watching it for like 10 minutes, and it just struck me that there's
you're making
a joke.
On her head.
Okay. See, he's doing a joke about her hair.
Only Ralph got that.
And that's why I was trying to help along.
By the way, I don't know.
Translate for the listeners.
Probably people couldn't hear, but I was trying like hell to avoid that call, and Bean had to go to it.
Of course you did.
I thought he found out that she was really related to Davy Crockett.
And if that was the case, Bean, why then, would you possibly want to talk about that?
I'll tell you why. Because I happen to know a guy who does a very, very entertaining Sarah Palin impression who's in the room that I thought would make that call funny.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you might want to check with him before you go to the call next time. See if you can get a hold of him and talk it over before you
get
make
him on
that
the phone?
Decision. Yeah.
He's not taking my calls. Let's do one more, and let's make sure it's Alex in Sherman Oaks on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's on line 8. Good morning, Alex. Thanks for calling. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
What it do?
Yeah, the best celebrity sighting day ever.
Okay, so I was just going and saying, I'm at the mall one day, right? And my favorite band in the world, hands down, Foo Fighters.
Good call.
Nice. And so I'm just looking around, you know, just chilling in front of Cinnabon. All of a sudden...
Wait, were you right in front of Cinnabon, or were you a little ways away?
I was right in front of it, but anyway.
Were you close to Express?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
Have you been by that Things Remember to get something engraved?
So I look to the I look off and I see Dave Grohl and I started freaking out, guys. And
he was the coolest in the world, right?
Of course he was, and he's there with his family, so I didn't really want to bother him all that much.
But you did.
Yeah, of course I did.
Sure.
I mean, come on, it's Dave Grohl.
Okay.
So I go up and I'm just like, hey, I just want to let you know, I think you're the greatest person in the world.
And he says, were you sitting over there in front of the Cinnabon?
Yeah, pretty much. That is pretty
Tell
much
me more of that story.
I was just going insane, and so later, I'm still at that mall, and I'm walking around, and I see Megan Fox.
No way!
Oh! Yeah. Come on!
All right, Alex, I'm going to give you a little training here. Here's how you tell the story next time. Guys, you're never going to believe this. I met Dave Grohl, my hero, and Megan Fox in the same day.
Okay.
Boom! You're done in 10 seconds.
Save us all a minute of hell.
We haven't gotten the Cinnabon
and
stuff,
everything
you know?
Else.
What?
You know, I was looking around and looking left and looking right.
Did you talk to Miss Fox as well?
You want to ask him more questions?
I want to know. I want to hear more about the encounter with Megan Fox.
This is the week that would not end.
Did you talk to her?
Honestly, I was so nervous when I saw her. I was just like, hi, and I walked away.
Yes. That was the home
run
we were looking
for. That's the payoff I was hoping for. All right,
you don't get to choose anymore. You're a bad chooser.
This is the dream mall, by the way. This is not a real mall this guy went to. And then I woke up and I had to go to work.
It's a mall in heaven, apparently.
Yeah,
it's calling us from beyond.
Every story's the Cinnabon.
You guys can't blame me for wanting to go to a call where a guy meets Megan Fox, though. I mean, that's perfect, right?
But after he puts us to sleep with his goddamn story, you want to go back.
If only Megan Fox had been related to Davy Crockett, it would have been a perfect call.
All right.
Wow, you're bad.
I want to thank our special guest on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, Mark Ruffalo, who was a dynamic and exciting interview. And his film is called Blindness. It opens everywhere today. How about our pal Sustainable Dave for joining us on the program today? That dude doesn't throw stuff away. That's what we found out about him today. You can go to sustainabledave.org, although I'm not sure why you would want to. And Andrew Siciliano for being with us, too. Red Zone DirecTV channel. Go to directtv.com.
On Monday morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, ways your boss tried to motivate you, and it, of course, didn't work. Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies. Bean's Life is Ruined. We're all looking forward to that. And Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I smoke a lot of pot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Does anybody have any drugs?
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
This one seems to be about to quit.
The best tonic is chronic.
And I need another hit.
Kat Corbett up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. If I were you, I'd stick around for new music from Coldplay called Lovers in Japan. Hear that one along with Nirvana, One Day as a Lion, Weezer, and more straight ahead on K-Rock.
Roll another one.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Just like the other one.
Does smell pot.
This one seems to be about to end.
I have this weird hunch he might be high.
I don't have another sin.
Those people that say that marijuana is a gateway drug, we say, yeah, gateway to good times.
God damn it, I love pot.
Just pass it around.
I'm looking to score some drugs.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
John McCain has already tapped me and said that's where I want you.
This is it. We've had enough.
Listen, I gotta go.
Really?
Don't worry. You'll see me again.
This is an environment of welcoming, and you should just get the hell out of here.
Well, that was a hard one.
It's only going to get harder.
That's what she said.
Okay, we're done. Thank you.
This is not going good for you.
I'm not impressed.
You're the biggest assholes I've ever met.
Leave the office right now. We're done.
So, go to our offices?
Get the out!
Okay, so you want to sleep on it. So do we, I think.
Get out of my office.
Whoa.
Wow.
Language.
Peace, love, and chicken.